Monday, May 20th, 2019. I am your host, Alex Jones. The globalists model themselves after the Jacobins that triggered and started the French Revolution. And they were a group and organization whose own internal documents later admitted didn't want human liberty or freedom, but wanted absolute control over all aspects of humanity, who wanted to overthrow the old existing church and system of royals, and in its place install absolute dictators over every facet of human life. They are a priest class that seeks to create a final revolution or a total and complete domination of the human species forever by capturing the human species in an artificiality. Now, when you see the internet and the way it's been designed, when you see globalism, when you see high-tech cities and all of these systems that are basically creating false environments for us, artificial environments that are dehumanizing us, that are making us weaker, stupider, slower, fatter, more feeble. And where people haven't just been enslaved, they've given up without even giving up. They've given up without even knowing that they've given in. They have no drive. They have no life force. They have no fire in the eyes. How was this done? How was this planned? How was this carried out? You know, the Pope just last week said there's some mysterious evil throughout history that hurts humanity and that wants to destroy us. Now, I'd previously said that there is no devil. That didn't work, so he came out and said, well, I didn't mean that. But there he was again saying it. What is this mysterious mystery of evil that the Bible talks about? Of course, he plagiarized. He didn't say it was from the Bible, what he was saying. This mystery, this hidden hand, this dark force that wants to hurt us. Is it some type of subconscious kill switch? Is that what the monsters of the id are talked about? No, ladies and gentlemen, the Pope's out today calling for world government. And of course, once you have world government, you have world cashless society. And if you haven't been a good little globalist, they're going to turn your global ID that's biometrically accessed by a face scan or a hand scan off the mark in the face or on the hand. By the way, I was thinking about this just last night, and I'll talk about it when we come back. How out of the gates, as soon as the cashless society is almost getting here, they're not waiting to slowly incrementally do it once it's here, and it's almost here. They're already announcing at MasterCard and at Visa. They're already announcing at Facebook with online banking that your behavior will govern how many goodie points you get. And if you're not a good little globalist and don't have your five-year-old's, you know, report for sex education to learn how to be chemically sterilized, well, then you have your credits taken away. But if you let your child be sterilized, well, you've got a good decade or so of not even having to work and luxury cruises around the world. This is the official plan being announced. You take all 100 and something vaccines they want you to take? Why, you're going to have a great social score. You don't? Well, you're not going to be able to set one foot outside your house. Then they're going to take your house. Then there's going to be such a homeless problem in the future. You're going to be taken to a work brigade facility where you're going to then be euthanized. After all, we're in a socialist system. We can't pay for all these homeless people. That's why they're ballooning the homeless problem so that it becomes such a huge problem. We then accept exterminating them, which has been the admitted plan. It's all problem, reaction, solution. And we're going to be talking about it all today. This is going to be a broadcast you do not want to miss. We're going to have Caitlin Bennett and Millie Weaver, who are here in Austin, in studio. They're going to be co-hosting the fourth hour today. And so much more than the War Room. 3 p.m. Central as well with Owen Schroyer. And don't forget Dave and I. Weekday mornings, 8 a.m. Central. The 3 hours right before I kick off. All right. Strap yourselves in. The most banned, verboten, demonized broadcast in the world. Because we're over the target. And we're dead on. And we carry the light in the dark of the night. I'm Alex Jones.
We are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
This is the heart of 1776.
Yes, I have thought an awful lot
about blowing up the White House.
Huge nationwide protests erupted once again on President Donald Trump's second weekend in office.
When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
And most importantly, we will be protected by God.
From the front lines of the InfoWar, it's Alex Jones.
Monday, May 20th, 2019. I'm Alex Jones, your host. We have a lot of huge breaking news and developments, big guests in studio, you name it. But first, I just want to state this so it's clear and on the record. Bible prophecy, whether you believe in Revelation or not, whether you believe in the God of the Bible, is being used as a template of a world government cashless society grid. And so just as humans envisioned in Jules Verne's books 150 years ago, traveling to the moon, and we've now done it, or just as people imagined 1,000 years ago airplanes in the sky that humans would fly in, we've now done it. Or they imagined back in Star Trek in the 1960s, your little communicators, and of course a few years later we'd already done it. What we imagine we're able to build. And ladies and gentlemen, a cashless society, world government's here. Sweden is almost completely cashless now. And Sweden is now talking about passing laws where you have to have a microchip to get on a bus or a train, and they're already microchipping people to get on buses and to get on trains and giving them discounts if they do it. Remember, a decade ago, they had the digital angel, and they'd have these swank clubs where you have the downstairs club and the club with all the sexy girls. You had to get a microchip to get into the VIP area. They had it in Florida. They had it in areas like Barcelona, Spain. So it's always been a carrot or the stick situation. And way back in 2015, we first reported on the Chinese social score first on air. Now that Chinese Communist Social Score, or Mark of the Beast, is going worldwide. And out of the gates, in 2018, 2019, hundreds of prominent nationalists, hundreds of prominent conservatives, and now it's in the thousands, are losing their MasterCard, losing their visas. They're having their bank accounts cancel on them, and they're saying to people, when they call the bank, we notice you bought a bunch of guns, or we notice you went to the NRA convention. Now LA's passed a law where if you're a member of the NRA, that's your own private membership. What is it, 6 million strong or so? Should be 100 million. That you won't be able to get a city contract. Total discrimination for your political beliefs. Totally criminal. And if you're a radio listener, while I speak, the crew is just search engineing everything I say and pulling up mainstream articles. So I'm not making this up. This is really happening. Last year, I was given a hate leader designation by the Southern Poverty Law Center, whose word is taken as God worldwide, criminal offshore organization, all sorts of seedy past, all the hundreds of millions that they rake in trying to foment fake racism. And I was put in there as that designation, and then suddenly bank account after bank account that I'd had for decades in merchant accounts with perfect credit scores. I had no criminal record. I have really good personal credit, and I had a basically as good a credit. There's no such thing as perfect. As good a credit as you can get in banking, in merchant banking. As good a credit. We don't take loans, any of that stuff. We pay our bills. We pay our debts. We instantly transfer the money in and out. We play by the book. Ladies and gentlemen, they said that we are a criminal terrorist organization. No judge, no jury, total defamation, slander, whatever you want to call it, to prohibit me from the market. And now they announced 2 weeks ago that major credit card companies are going to appoint Southern Poverty Law Center trained human rights commissions inside each company who will watch what you do and what you buy, and that they will then penalize you. These are SJWs. This is what you get college degrees for now, to censor the internet, to watch what people do, to watch how they buy and sell. If you're a mainstream media reporter, you get access to YouTube, to Google, to Twitter, to Facebook's internal algorithms and data. They get access to your accounts. This has all come out in the news. And then they are your minders. They are your controllers. They are the people that will then oversee you and run your life. And it's going to go down to every facet of what we do. If you don't send your children to the sex education when they're five, where they're going to teach your little boys and their really little girls that they should be sterilized, that's in the news today, you will be given a bad social credit score. If you don't take the hundreds of vaccines, you'll be given a bad social credit score. If you go to the wrong church, you'll be given a bad social credit score. This is it. We are living to see the mark of the beast manifest. And there's not an outcry. There's not a word being said by your mega churches. There's not anything being done about it. And we're just sliding over the edge, down the slide, into the abyss. We're going to cover it all today. It's here. Everything you do tracked in real time. Everything put into a global score. Every facet of your life chronicled. And then even people that submit completely, they're going to notice there's more and more added to what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to live. And the technocrats controlling it can put more restrictions on someone if they want or less, even if that person is complying and submitting. They're going to still drive you into the ground because that is the essence of what these globalists are establishing. So it's here, and people better organize against it. They better say no to it. They better resist it, and they better start setting up alternative systems to counter it, because the Bible says the beast system will come up and be live for 1 hour. 1 hour. Now, it's all archetypal there and coded. But 1 hour means generally about a year. And during that time, most of the Earth's planetary population will be exterminated. 2,000 years ago, that was written, plus. 2,000 plus years ago. And then notice, magically, the world government wants to depopulate the Earth today. Everything, Revelations and Daniel, Old Testament, New Testament, Ezekiel, it all ties together. It's all right there in black and white, and that's why there's the war on Christians. That's why they want anybody shut down that talks about this, because it's all there. The total world government beast system is coming. It's almost here, and out of the gates it's manifesting. And it's politically going to target certain little political subgroups first that aren't popular with the technocrats and their minions. And then once they've been shut down and destroyed, the precedent's set for everyone. It's here. It's incredibly dangerous. And it's still amazing, though, and exciting to know that Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. World government, cloned humans, the breakup of the family, all of it foretold, all of it planned, all of it here. And yes, folks, it's not just the evil ones taking the Bible and using it as a blueprint. No, there's a master behind this. Welcome back. I'm your host, Alex Jones. So, here's what it comes down to. Whether you believe in God or not, whether you believe in Jesus or Buddha or Satan. The fact is, we're on a planet out here in deep space. We can invent incredible technologies. What ancient man envisioned is basically all coming true, and revelation is being fulfilled. Before the global cashless society is even firmly in place. But right as it is about to arrive, big tech across the world is working with authoritarian regimes like China to track and trace and oppress and control their populations. And futurists, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, predicted that when computers could get down to the size of a phone, that they'd be handheld and would dial into larger computers to give you maps, to give you reviews of restaurants, and to give you instant digital credit. The problem was it would then give the companies that controlled that incredible control over where you went and what you did if that was turned off. And it would allow monopolies to form that then could basically make you completely dependent on it. And look at how people don't even know how to grow vegetables or do arithmetic with a pencil or sew their own clothing. We are becoming beyond domesticated. Educated idiots that are basically drunk on entertainment and anesthetized on alcohol and drugs. So all of this is here. And from the very beginning of the cusp of the cashless society, it's being immediately used to target nationalists, conservatives, Christians, traditionalists, people that don't want to turn their children over to the social engineers. And all that news is coming up. People that think 5G is bad, even though all the scientists have said it's deadly. People that, again, are saying they should be able to opt out their children from sex education in the fifth grade in California, teaching little girls they're really little boys. Serious stuff to break down the family and reduce population. Something top Democrats are coming out now and admitting is what they want. They want to reduce population. They want to reduce fertility. They want to bring all of this control in. Feminist writer says family must be abolished to dismantle capitalism. So I was poking around doing some research on some of the interviews I saw decades ago predicting all of what ended up unfolding. And I found one of them on a very interesting page on YouTube of a famous filmmaker, David Hoffman. It's Alan Weston, who died a few years ago, a privacy expert. And he broke down in 1979, basically how all of this was coming, but how you'd have to give up your privacy to do it. So watch this.
Do I have anything to be concerned about? And if I do, what can I do about what it is I should be concerned about? And what can I feel good about also about this whole thing, my rights here?
I want to talk first about how individuals have some of the capacities for being helped by technology if we only as a society knew what we wanted to do. I talked about the dilemmas of people who run organizations, but before we get to individual rights, there are lots of things we could do with the technology if we as a whole society decided that we wanted to use it that way. For example, supposing that at every street corner or at stores located throughout a city, you had terminals and you could find out which store had been cited for violations of price gouging, which restaurants had roaches found by the health inspector. And all of the information that's stored in government files and stored supposedly for consumer protection was really out there so the average person could see it. And if you think ahead just a little bit to cable television and two-way communication, you could eventually see that being in everybody's home. So that before you went out to eat, you could dial up the restaurants to see who were health violators or any of those kinds of things. For example, many of my friends believe that the home computer is the great engine that's going to unlock this. If we have, in the next 10 years, reduced the cost of computing so much that for the cost of a typewriter or even the cost of a medium price calculator, you'll be able to have your own home computer, and you can link this by the cost of a telephone instrument to other computers, this would open up a whole new way of people relating to others. Then the question will be, why do people want to do that? What purposes will it serve? And that's a whole open area that we just don't know anything about yet.
Mm-hmm.
The middle class, for example, has opportunities that, as a result of information technology, make life, you know, very, very happy for them. For example, I can go to San Francisco, and if I want to buy a suit for $200, I can flash a little piece of plastic and get instant credit. And that's possible only because a telecommunications system can identify me, make sure I haven't exceeded my floor limit for American Express or Visa, will make sure that my balance is within the range of unpaid balance that they permit me, and so I get my suit. That's a tremendous convenience. I can get an airline reservation with instantaneous accuracy, and I'll get the seat I want and all those kinds of things. But the problem is that the knowledge that would enable many people to know what they need to know in order to function better as consumers, as voters, as people who are trying to function in ways that are different than the traditional ways of getting information and using information, I don't think we've begun to explore what some of those kinds of things would be.
How did this privacy issue arise? Quickly, what I'm really asking is, were people always concerned about privacy, or has there been a change? And why has this change occurred? Did information technology play any role in the change?
A lot of people have thought and have read the signs to, in their judgment, to prove that the American public is willing to give up its privacy, or that it's becoming accustomed to losing its privacy, and that when the trade-offs are all looked at, the public is, after all, more interested in getting better services and having criminals caught and having terrorists looked out for than they are in having their privacy. Well, that's just not true. There was a study done by Lewis Harrison Associates called the Sentry Privacy Study that I was an advisor on, and we asked people how concerned they were about threats to their own personal privacy. And 64% of the American public said that they were very concerned about threats to their own privacy. And 2/3 of the American public said they now see privacy as something which should be added to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness at that fundamental level of value in the society. And that we're now learning how to enact laws and how to get organizations to put rules in place that will protect the patient in the hospital, the consumer in the business community, the employee on the job, the taxpayer in relationship to tax authorities, or the welfare client.
So that's Alan Weston, a famous futurist, and that's outtakes from a documentary. So that's pieces that never even made it on PBS. But there he is laying out what we should have done. But notice there's no discussion or debate about an organization saying, okay, well, MasterCard can deny NRA members a right to have a MasterCard now. That's where they say they're going. See, first it's Gavin McGinnis and it's Alex Jones, then it's you. You're like, oh, it's a private company. No, no, there's only a few big companies now. They're consolidating total control. The owner of Twitter is one of the biggest people consolidating digital banking. And they're openly saying, no, if you're a conservative or Christian, you're going to starve to death on the street. The left has been planning this for a long time. They were never for free speech. Now they're making their move with total control.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Words like violence break the silence.
How you guys doing?
Good, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you guys.
Nice to meet you guys.
How are you guys doing?
Chemicals in the water.
The real reason they banned me.
That's real, though.
Your TV viewer, you can see it. Everywhere I go in D.C., you name it. Groups of young people run up and shake my hand. Huge listeners.
Facebook has banned a number of prominent conspiracy theorists and alt-right figures, including Alex Jones and his media outlet InfoWars.
Alex Jones, while banned from Facebook, was still on Instagram. If you looked up Joe Biden, one of the top 20 posts on all of Facebook and Instagram in the last 3 days about Joe Biden came from Alex Jones's Instagram account.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you're
awesome.
So great.
You guys, we started very good.
I know that we don't exactly have the strongest reputation on privacy right now, to put it lightly.
network in the world.
They've not shut down our speech. We're at Infowars.com and Newswars.com, and we're defeating the leftist tyrants.
I got mobbed on the streets by fans, but almost all of them said, we used to love you on air. It was so good to see you on, you know, the iTunes or on YouTube. Are you coming back? We're at Infowars.com. We're at Newswars.com. Paul Watts has launched his own Summit.News. We have our own videos. We have our own articles. They're trying to destroy us, but thanks to you and others having us on, InfoWars is still chugging along. So we're there, folks. Tomorrow's news today.
InfoWars.com, man! Woo! InfoWars.com, because that's a bunch of people out here. I'm talking about InfoWars.com.
I'm at Infowars.com and Newswars.com.
There you go.
We knew this censorship was coming forever. We have our own video streams, our own audio streams, and it's all free to air. Anybody can use it, re-upload it, do whatever you want. People go to Infowars.com and Newswars.com. That's where they find it. You know, there's things called websites. All right. Let me finish up on the Cashless Society control grid with another key video. And then I'm going to tell you what else is coming up, because I usually don't even get to a lot of the top news that's on Infowars.com and Newswars.com, because I'm dealing with bigger thematic issues, like a world government system tracking everything you do, controlling what you do, and controlling what other people do, and then downgrading your social score if you haven't submitted to the system. And then they can continue to put more and more controls on by increments, making you do basically insane things, which is what control freaks want throughout history when civilizations go insane, as they tend to do when they get long in the tooth. Now, here's an example. My wife had some family in town, and we're driving along in the car yesterday, going to get lunch, and they start talking about the Black Mirror episode, the first Black Mirror episode like 4 years ago, where the woman goes crazy. Everybody has a social score that you can see in live time. And if you're not just a perfect little person that submits to whatever the corporate norms are, you get downvoted and you basically become homeless and starve to death. And she finally just goes insane. Well, we reported on the Chinese social score 2 years before that report was ever put on Black Mirror, or 3 years. So people always say to me, oh, Black Mirror, because they were asking, yeah, we hear how you're getting banned everywhere, and we hear how they took you off PayPal and a bunch of other places. Wow, did they get that from Black Mirror? And, you know, I like her family. They're nice folks. They're smart people. They're professionals. But, you know, I almost throw up, because everybody's just comfortable about it. Oh, like Black Mirror. No, not like Black Mirror. Like Planet Earth, baby. This is real. And they think you're cowards. They think when they start doing this, which they're starting to do, well, I better not be an NRA member. That's the next target. Well, I better not be a Trump supporter. I mean, they'll dump a milkshake on my head, or coffee, or they'll punch me in the nose, or they'll take my bank account. They've already got your kids. They're already sexualizing them and bringing convicted pedophiles to your schools unannounced for your kid to sit on their lap. It's a raw exercise of power. And so we must realize how bad it's gotten. Now, Eisenhower warned about this in 1961 in his farewell address, days before Kennedy was sworn in. The full speech is 21 minutes long. I've aired it several times over the years. But everybody always only hears the military-industrial complex part that Trump, by the way, just brought up yesterday. That's coming up. But he really talked about a technological elite that are in control of DARPA and all the research money, and how it's dangerous because they're able to direct civilization where you think you have free market and you think you have competition, but what you have is an oligopoly, a combine. Big tech ruling your life, more powerful than King George III ever imagined, more powerful than Adolf Hitler or Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong ever imagined. And those very tech powers are now openly allied with the Chi-Coms themselves, who are the heavyweight champions of mass murder. Here it is.
Akin to and largely responsible for the sweeping changes in our industrial military posture has been the technological revolution during recent decades. In this revolution, research has become central. It also becomes more formalized, complex, and costly. A steadily increasing share is conducted for, by, or at the direction of the federal government. Today, the solitary inventor, tinkering in his shop, has been overshadowed by task forces of scientists in laboratories and testing fields. In the same fashion, the free university, historically the fountainhead of free ideas and scientific discovery, has experienced a revolution in the conduct of research. Partly because of the huge costs involved, a government contract becomes virtually a substitute for intellectual curiosity. For every old blackboard, there are now hundreds of new electronic computers. The prospect of domination of the nation's scholars by federal employment, project allocations, and the power of money is ever present and is gravely to be regarded. Yet in holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite. It is the task of statesmanship to mold, to balance, and to integrate these and other forces, new and old, within the principles of our democratic system, ever aiming toward the supreme goals of
let's stop right there. See, you never hear the real speech. You only hear about the military-industrial complex. He explains that's controlled by the technocrats. Now, if you go read the Davos statements the last decade, they say, we're technocrats. We don't want elected governments anymore. We want to control you. Pull up, type in Bloomberg, the ultimate technocrat, and then a big Bloomberg article about him wanting to control your life because he knows best. They're very arrogant about this now. And so, again, right as this society comes into its full fruition, they're immediately going to abuse it like we were always warned by Eisenhower and by John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos and by your own common sense. There it is, the great technocrat, Politico. Another article in Bloomberg about it. I mean, it's all there. The president just warned you of the technocrat. That means a dictatorship of the technocracy. And now big tech, spawned by the federal government, has merged with China, doesn't even respect our government anymore, and believes that we're obsolete, believes we've been beaten already. And maybe we have been. Because if people go quietly into this dark night and just let them do whatever they want, then I guess we deserve what happens to us. It really is incredible. The forced inoculations are here. The forced GMOs here. The forced 5G is here. And they admit all of it kills us. Headline, top scientist, 5G, hundreds of respected scientists sound the alarm on the effects of 5G networks. Go up nationwide. LA Times admits gives you cancer, but they don't care. Because they've got a plan, and you ain't part of it. And the plan is to kill you and your family. No matter where you go in the world, if it's a westernized first world country, it's the exact same corporate standardization, the exact same programs of control being rolled out against the public. Because there's a larger global plan. That's what Davos is all about. That's what Bilderberg is all about. That's what these systems are all about. And in that, there is orthodox, radical, expansionist Islam being used to invade Western countries. I want to air an extremely powerful Greg Reese piece that just went live on Infowars.com last night that I hope you will share. It's Insurrection in America. Ilhan Omar constantly talks about how bad America is, constantly runs this country down, but she came here as a refugee, married her own biological brother to do it, but hates the country she tried to get into. It's an oxymoron, but that's what the universities and the systems are establishing, is what they call liberation theology. Hating the West, turning brown people into hardcore anti-white racist, anti-Westerners. It's the mega globalist reverse colonizing the West to destroy the egalitarian ideas of the West of building up the world and having a global industrial renaissance-based system. The technocrats don't want a pro-human future. That's why they're bringing in the 1.8 billion Muslims that are incompatible. And that's why the great law of Europe and the great law of America now is don't talk about what Muslims are doing. France does not belong to the French. 400-plus African migrants storm airport to demand asylum. Rapper sings, I F France, I burn France, as he symbolically strangles a white woman. That's the new, all the big hit music in England and France is white women being pimped, murdered, killed. New report finds Islamic terrorism in Europe has increased by 725% in just the last 2 years. Everywhere, this is the plan. Bricks, bottles, and beatings. The truth the media doesn't want you to see. Incredible Tommy Robinson footage of the police standing down while 1,000 Muslims that came from all over England came to attack him. Families with babies and strollers are attacked. We have that footage coming up. But this is what's happened to Europe and what's coming to America. And the media and the police in Europe are on the side of the jihadis, part of the larger plan. The technocracy from on top, the universities brainwashing in the middle with the media, and Islam from the bottom. And in the end, we all have a giant anti-human war that reduces population. It's all been scripted. It's all been planned. Here's Greg Reese's report.
What is insurrection? A rebellion or rising of citizens or subjects in resistance to their government. In 2017, the Justice Democrats and brand new Congress seek to undermine the democratic system by electing fake politicians. Antifa is conspiring with the Mexican cartel to stage an armed rebellion at the border. And Democrats continue pushing for open borders while patriots are silenced on the internet. This all qualifies as insurrection, but there is something far more deadly that has been taking root within America for decades. Islamist terrorist compounds have been found all over the country, training for Islamic jihad.
With the election of Donald Trump, they believe that their end times prophecies that they believe in are now being fulfilled. Donald Trump is part of a satanic Jewish conspiracy, and they are preparing for the camps to be raided and to fight back.
Brooklyn imam and CNN contributor Siraj Wahaj was involved in the first World Trade Center bombing and has clearly stated his support for Islamic jihad.
Islam is better than a democracy. In time, the so-called democracy will crumble, and there will be nothing, and the only thing that will remain will be Islam.
His son was found training children to be terrorists in New Mexico and Alabama. Young children in a Philadelphia mosque were found singing songs about killing and torturing non-Muslims. Muslim clerics are openly calling for jihad.
الطليان يا كل من على وزن الطليان خذوا اللاجئين سنطلبهم منكم قريبا.
Says we'll take the refugees, we conquer your women. Caliphate.
Experts on Islamic jihad have warned us.
There is no place in the world where Muslims have come that they haven't started wars against the non-Muslims. Why do we think we're going to be different?
The leader of the Iranian nationalist movement has warned us.
چون گاورمنت های اروپا به ناحق دارن از رادیکالیزم اسلامی دفاع میکنن. پس باید منتظرش باشن که همین بلا روزی سرشون بیاد.
Islamic reformer Mohammad Tawhidi has warned us.
The Islamist movement has been very clear in their goal, and that is to establish their own caliphate. On the other side, the left not only sympathize with them, they're applying democratic values onto an extremist group that doesn't believe in democracy. They want Sharia law.
Despite these dire warnings, our elected officials have continued to support Islam. We have a congresswoman who openly supports Islamic Jihad.
Should we reassess the way that we are dealing with al-Shabaab?
Her constituents in Minneapolis want Sharia law in America.
Do you feel more comfortable living under American law, or do you feel more comfortable living under Sharia law?
Sharia law. I'm a Muslim. I prefer Sharia law. Sharia law, yes.
You prefer Sharia law over American law?
Of course, yeah. Of course, yeah.
And do you find most of your friends feel the same way?
Yeah, of course. If you're Muslim, yeah.
He can make his daughter marry somebody.
Yeah.
Is it right to kill somebody who insults Muhammad?
Yeah, because she's just, she hates the religion, I understand. But she shouldn't beat up the prophet, you know?
And they don't even want to live here.
You have a choice. Would you rather live here or would you rather live in a Muslim country?
I'd rather live in a Muslim country with my people.
Would you prefer to live in America or prefer to live in Somalia?
For me, I think it's Somalia.
Would you rather live in America or live in Somalia?
I'd rather live in Somalia.
For those who are not brainwashed by the mainstream media, insurrection is clearly happening in America. And President Trump invoking the Insurrection Act is clearly within America's best interests.
I believe that President Trump is one of the best things that have ever happened to the White House. This is very, very serious. You have a president that will really go after the extremists and not care what anybody else thinks.
Islamic Jihad will never end unless we start fighting back.
But the point I'm getting across is that we are trying to treat a person humanely when they're not human. They're not human. We come to America warning the Christians, and the Christians don't want to listen. What do you want us to do? If I'm telling you, I fled from this guy, and this guy is now moving next door, and you're telling me I'm Islamophobe, how can I help you? If we want to be realistic, the only medicine for ISIS and their likes is when the Christians arise to defend Europe and defend their sacred sites and their churches. That's the only way that these people will wake up.
For NewsWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Well, powerful report. It's up on InfoWars.com right now. I hope you get it out to everybody you know. That's the only way these videos get out is via your email, via your text message, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. They'll try to censor you. So when you send the link out, say, here's the forbidden information or here's the scumbag, Alex Jones. You call me the filth. Say, here is the filth. Look at this evil filth. And then they'll let it go out because their SJWs are so mentally retarded, literally, they can't tell the difference. And it's just a game, but a game for your life and your future. Okay, I didn't plug this hour. If the water doesn't rise over Bear Creek, all three huge specials we've had must end tonight. As soon as I get off air tomorrow, we've got a new special, and it's a great special, but it's not this special. It ends. So the free bottle of X3 tri-iodine that's so amazing, with the bottle of X2, 25% off the X2, free bottle of X3, that must end. If you don't know about the iodine deficiency, if you don't know about tri-iodine or true atomic iodine, go read about it. Go research iodine deficiency and loss of IQ and so many things, loss of cognitive abilities. Just, it's so important, folks. Research real, pure iodine. InfoWarsLife.com. This historic special, so I want you to try it, ends today. Get your X3, 25% off. Get a bottle of tri-iodine X3, absolutely free. And the other specials are going to end as well, except one. Ultra 12, 50% off, out of the gates, the best B12 out there. That goes for one more week. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Cashless society control grid system in most of the last hour. Then I aired Greg Reese report. It's really important. President Trump has basically threatened to attack Iran after Iran threatened military strikes. Now Iran is saying never threaten an Iranian, try respect. I mean, come on, Iran constantly threatens to attack and blow up U.S. targets in the Middle East. I don't want this to happen, though. And I don't want war with Iran. And I don't want war either in the whole thing with Venezuela. I'm just simply pointing out that the whole situation is continuing to deteriorate. And it fits into this whole global model where you have the technocrats trying to escalate the world into a planetary crisis. So that's all coming up in the next segment. We're also going to get to what's happening with the invasion of Europe. And I want to explain something. I personally don't want to hate people from the Middle East. And I personally don't want to be at war with Muslims. And I understand there's a larger globalist plan for a clash of civilizations. But if your daughter gets kicked down a subway stairs by a group of Islamicists because they think, you know, that she's a profane, you know, dog creature because she's a Christian or whatever, the police or the media try to cover it up, and that's wrong. And so if a horde of radical Islamicists are coming down your French street, or you're having your crosses taken down on the coastline of Greece because it's offensive to Muslims, that's war, and that's wrong. I understand it's a manipulated collision. I understand it's a manipulated clash. But it doesn't change the fact if you're on the receiving end of it and capitulating to it and going along and saying, oh, Islam's great, it's a religion of peace, there isn't a clash of civilizations happening, only adds to the globalist program. We must be honest about the cancer that has become Islam in this current permutation. And the fact that the globalism is a cancer. And the fact that the left's system is cancer. And the fact that mainline churches that just want to be country clubs have become cancers. And that the 5G and the GMO and the big drug companies, knowing they're giving us stuff that kills us and makes us more depressed, they're a cancer too. There's a lot of damn evil going on here. So I don't sit here and shake my finger at the Muslims like I'm high and mighty, like a Pharisee up here, or a hypocrite, and say, you know, you're the only bad people in the world. No. We got a lot of evil going around here. You'll see examples in the U.S. and in England where they're trying to teach five-year-old boys and girls to wear, you know, boys their girls and girls their boys, and trying to teach five-year-olds about anal sex. And the Muslims come in there and they say, our kids are pulled out of here. And they protest, and then the school stops it or says Muslims don't have to go. But nobody else will stand for their kids. So that's the point I'm getting at here is that we've got a lot of evil ideologies here. And humanity has really lost touch with what civilization has given us. And we are becoming animals in the civilization our ancestors built. And I don't care where that is. I don't care if it's in Africa, the Middle East, the United States, Europe, Asia. You've got people that are becoming disconnected from reality and who are not self-aware, who will do basically anything at any time. And it's going to create a world meltdown. It's going to create a societal collapse. Because if you don't want to work, the systems will basically let you live for free, but you got to follow their political aim to conquer. But if you want to be free, you got to work more, more, more. But when you hit that point where the globalists finally take over, they're going to have their own weird right-wing backlash that I think is going to be very, very dangerous as well. It's a serious time, folks, and we need God more than ever.
Listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
We're now into hour number two on this Monday, May 20th, 2019 broadcast. I'm your host, Alex Jones, and in this hour, I'm going to be talking about the clash of civilizations, how Western leftist technocrats have broken down the Middle East, then radicalized and promoted the radicalization of the very worst Islamic groups, funded the Arab Spring to bring down all the countries bordering Europe, launching a giant official UN invasion of military-age men who were then put on welfare, kept segregated into political and cultural bombs that can be activated, that can be detonated to terrorize the society under globalist control. Then if you don't submit to Sharia law and anger the Muslims, you yourself then end up getting censored or thrown in jail. We have incredibly dramatic footage that's going to take this segment and the next to get to. Then I'll open the phones up of Tommy Robinson, who's running for European Union Member of Parliament, which the UK is still in the EU. Nigel Farage's Brexit campaign is set to win big and get more seats than anybody. So nationalism, populism is exploding. And the article's up on Infowars.com. Tommy Robinson breaks it all down. But if you're a radio listener, it's important. But if you're a TV viewer, it's insane. And we're going to air the report from the start in this segment and the next. We're going to air the full report where Tommy is out there and there are children in strollers with bricks being thrown at them. And the police stand down and the police go along with it because the left and Antifa and all of this is joining with radical Islam as their muscle on the street. So again, ladies and gentlemen, Tommy called me yesterday. He asked me to air this important report, and we're going to air it. It's up on Infowars.com. Muslim group chunks bricks at Tommy Robinson supporters at campaign event. That is one of the articles about it. I'm going to give everybody here from Tommy the actual headlines. There's a lot of videos in there. And here it is, Islamic attack, what really happened yesterday in Oldham. And they've already, document cam shot, please, for TV viewers. They've already age-restricted it. And there's major calls to remove his YouTube, the last place he has to communicate with people on his own platform. Then, of course, they know that others will end up posting his stuff. So then you'll get an Alex Jones-level ban where they say you will not promote this person unless it's negative. That is the 1984 level. That'll take several segments to get to all of this, but it is a maximum alert. I'm going to have this article and video reposted at the top of Infowars.com and Newswars.com, plus my Friday interview with Tommy under it, to Infowars.com and Newswars.com and PrisonPlanet.com right now. Now, remember, Infowars URL gets censored a lot of places. Newswars isn't as bad yet. So Newswars.com, I'll put right back to the top, email it, text it, share it so people can see what the left and others are battling you not to see. Radical Islam, Facebook allowed a week of promotion. They picked this town for Muslims to come from all over England to attack Tommy Robinson. So that's what's happening. So only you can get this video out. And we're going to stream it here. Oh, yeah, age appropriate. Got all the violence on TV. You know, they don't care if a kid watches Game of Thrones, but they don't want you to see Muslim men attacking men, women, and children, and the police arrogantly standing down and showing no humanity towards Tommy, because they're the political police. They're the criminals. They're to suppress. They're to support the rape gangs. They're to support the sexualization. They're to support all of this, ladies and gentlemen. So let's go ahead and start the report. Here it is.
Before I've entered any city on my election campaign, the local Labour MPs, supported by the establishment's media, run hit pieces and smear pieces against me, labelling me talking about not wanting hate or division or racism. With zero evidence against those accusations, zero evidence at all, they whip up people ready to attack me. On Saturday, I visited a working class estate in Oldham. Just like for the last 3 weeks, I've travelled the northwest visiting different working class estates. Each one of my events have been peaceful family events where people have brought their children, so an opportunity for me to speak to my future constituents. The difference for Oldham was, for the past week, a Muslim organisation on Facebook has literally been inciting attacks against me and organising and planning attacks against me in Oldham, telling people to come and throw milkshakes at me. But not just milkshakes, anything they want. So before getting to my political rally, I decided to take a walk through Oldham Town Centre. I had some interesting debates with members of the public.
I'm from Afghanistan, and I appreciate what you do for your people. And I like what you do for your people.
Thank you, bro.
Yeah?
Thank you.
I know, some people are doing in this country. They shouldn't do that.
Yeah, fair.
You know
play.
What I mean?
Yeah, I know what you
this,
mean,
we
bro.
Can, we come to this country, we should respect their law, we should respect their traditions, and we should respect their culture.
Thank you, bro.
Innit?
Fair play. Hey, respect, man. Respect. Respect, bro.
Good man.
Respect, bro.
Little did I know, loads of masked thugs were on their way to attack my family-friendly event. The biggest shock from what happened on Saturday, what you're going to witness, is that hundreds of Muslims wearing balaclavas, intent on violence, were marched and escorted for miles by Greater Manchester Police. They were marched to our campaign event. Our campaign event, miles away from any Muslim community. They were marched there intent on violence, and they come armed with bricks, and they attacked a family event with women and children present.
Time to show Tommy what time it is, guys.
Yeah, guys, make sure you go and show some support to the locals, yeah? Go and join the Muslim Defence League page if you're on it.
I'm in Oldham today, guys. Remember this next time, Halifax. Next time, come out like these Buddhas have in Oldham, yeah? Yeah, we've got about 300 people with us, bro. Let's go to the front line with my boys. The Halifax Pakistanis repping in Oldham.
And they've come from Halifax. Halifax Pakistanis. Halifax isn't even in the northwest. This is premeditated. Gangs of young men, young Muslim men, armed and wearing balaclavas, intent on attacking a political campaign. Not just intent on attacking it, but aided and abetted and supported and directed there by the local police.
Tommy. We're here, man. We're here. Where are you?
Boys, we're not here. 10 minutes. Run back into the area quickly.
Yeah, where is it? Where are they all, man?
No one disses our religion. Tommy, you piece of we're here. Come on. You crying on Twitter and everything, you little bitch.
All right, hit pause. This is their own video. Yeah, Tommy's a little bitch. He exposed giant child kidnapping grooming rings all over the country. Now there have been literally been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of arrests, dozens and dozens and dozens of trials, all of it confirmed. And he's gone out and been attacked hundreds of times himself and fought back. Yeah, he's a little bitch, cornered in his own country with radical jihadis brought in who don't like him and want to make him submit to you. And then you're pissed he won't submit to you. There's a few men left. It's just incredible. And again, all these Muslim countries fight with each other. They're always trying to conquer each other. It's the Dark Ages. It's out of control, and we have to stop denying it. But I intend, after I finish this report, to open the phones up for Muslims to call in and decry this type of behavior, or are you going to defend it? Ilhan Omar says she hates America. Well, then why the hell did she come here? Why the hell, you know, to all the Somalis that say they hate America so much, go back to Somalia, go back to your wonderland, go back to your heaven. Stop trying to come here and make me cut my daughter's genitals off. I'm not gonna do it without a fight. It'll never happen.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones.
So, Muslim men from all over England traveled to a town after Facebook promoted violence against Tommy Robinson and allowed it for a week. to physically attack men, women, and children to stop him from being able to speak. Then there was a total media blackout except for saying, oh, Tommy got in a fight with some Muslims. You know that, Tommy. Well, here's footage shot by the Islamists themselves of their premeditated, vicious, 10-to-1 cowardly attack. Here it is.
On Twitter,
I don't know anything,
you little bitch.
Hey, everyone, closing!
Here we are in Oldham, and there's a gang of young Muslims trying to fight their way past the police lines to come and attack us or silence Tommy. They say the police are obviously quite worried. I think they're going to be getting the tear gas out shortly. Because they've been stopped.
And here come the rocks.
Here.
Middle East for the Muslims. Africa for the Africans. Asia for the Asians. Latin America for the Latin Americans. But nowhere for the evil Christians.
Hey, everyone who's got kids, get your kids inside the house. Someone open a house for the kids. Get your kid. If they come through there... I'll tell you what you want to do. If you want to get anyone out there, get that girl and the kids and take the kids out of here.
And the police...
Take the kids out of here.
Finally, buckle.
Come on, then. Back off.
Take these kids. Is there a police escort waiting? Is there a police escort waiting for that car? Get the kids out of there and take them on the escort. Has anyone else got kids here?
All right, mate. All right, mate. All right.
Those children will be sold on the market later once Islam takes over.
He'll take you away.
They'll fetch a good price like they did when they captured Istanbul.
Right. Officer.
Tommy, there's more at the end of the street.
Where's the police escort?
There's more at the end of the street.
They're waiting for you there. Go on.
Do your window up,
and then cover their faces in case bricks come through. Cover their faces.
Bricks and bottles.
Yeah, so they're asking, can we ask you just to come out of the way for the time being, like, can we calm it down?
I know it's not you personally, but obviously...
Look at that cop.
Hold on, so you've got officers under attack by who?
They're there to open the gates and bring the country down.
I have no idea who it is.
We can't get a protest, that's all we know.
Cops are telling him he's bad, he has to go.
When asking the police officer to identify who it is that's attacking their police officers, he says counter-protesters. Do these people look like ordinary counter-protesters, wearing balaclavas? His political correctness can't even bring him to admit it's gangs of Muslim youths that are attacking the police.
So they're shutting down our election campaign.
Think of that mind control. Back it up 20 seconds, please. The media is so controlled, they won't even say Muslim gangs. And you read the news, it's like Tommy did something. Can't even have an event for his supporters without people descending and Facebook organizing it. And it came out in the news today that mainstream media and major studies all over the world works with Antifa. And that a lot of media people dress as Antifa. Of course, they believe they're the ruling class and they're allied with out-of-control Islam. Here it is.
Who it is that's attacking their police officers? He says counter-protesters. Do these people look like ordinary counter-protesters, wearing balaclavas? His political correctness can't even bring him to admit it's gangs of Muslim youths that are attacking the police.
So they're shutting down our election campaign.
Welcome to Oldham. This is what happens when you try and have a political opinion where you dare to talk about the problems. This is what meets you. But we chose specifically not to go near an area where this could happen. That's why we come here. We come here for the safety of our own supporters. My main concern here is that our supporters have come out for a political rally and lots of them are getting hurt. This is the first town we've come to with a large Muslim population. And look at the scenes. Look at the scenes.
Come on! Come on! Come on!
against all.
Throwing rocks and bricks in an area with children and strollers. Can you imagine if any Tommy people did that? It'd be all the news. White supremacists attack innocent Muslims with bricks. Again, for radio listeners, this video has been censored off the web. We're live streaming it. It'll be archived at InfoWars.com. Share it. And the cops are telling him it's your fault, Tommy, for running for parliament. It's your fault for being born in England. It's your fault because you don't roll over and die like we do, because you're not a traitor. All those SJW cops, just look at them.
Well, there we go, peaceful Muslims. Peaceful Muslims.
Looks just like the West Bank, doesn't it?
All on camera.
That's right. That land was stolen from the Muslims, Northern England.
Police. Muslim organisations have been inciting violence day in, day out for today. It's been encouraged, it's been allowed by social media. The police have made zero arrests. They've been organising themselves and they've been walked down to destroy and ruin our campaign rally. I want to say, every one of you that have turned up, thank you. You've shown bravery and courage in being here. We've got children. Children having bricks and bottles thrown at them by gangs of Muslim youth. All we're trying to do is hold an election campaign rally. We have specifically chosen not to go into the city centre. We specifically chose not to go near any Muslim estates in order for there to be no trouble. And still, they've come to these estates. They've come out of their areas and come to attack our campaign rally in a non-Muslim area. And still, watch the media try and spin this completely.
We're telling the police to go and do their job. We're telling the police that family's under attack.
As I predicted, the media would spin everything. Let's have a look at the Daily Mirror article. The Daily Mirror article has a picture of seven Muslim men.
Stop right there. We're going to come right back and continue with this. This is the radical Islamic invasion, UN globalist run. But what is the end game? The media doesn't want you to see this. We're showing it now, live, unfiltered, at Infowars.com/show and Newswars.com. At the very top says, censored video of Muslims attacking people in England. Get that video out. Newswars.com. Newswars.com. Newswars.com.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
You can overpower the censors, you can overpower big tech, you can overpower the globalists that have deindustrialized much of the West, that have broken down our borders, that have gone in and funded openly, putting the most radical Islamic leaders in to the Middle East and North Africa and Central Asia to sabotage those areas. We've overthrown moderate Muslims and good Muslims. And now they bring in entitled people at the universities. They bring in foreigners and they teach them England sucks, America sucks, Canada sucks, Germany sucks. And a lot of the people of Europe capitulate. They become Stockholm Syndrome. They agree that Europe sucks. They say that they're bad. They say that being white is inherently evil. They apologize to everyone. But others stand up and say, no, what you're doing to me is wrong. Well, Facebook then has giant mobs of Muslims who are the real backup. They're the Antifa 2.0 to come and physically attack you. And the police tell you to leave. It's your fault running for office that these people want to kill you. They are good. You are bad. Roll over, England. Die, England. Die, England. Die, England. Here it is.
Have made zero arrests. They've been organising themselves and they've been walked down to destroy and ruin our campaign rally. I want to say, every one of you that have turned up, thank you. You've shown bravery and courage in being here. We've got children having bricks and bottles thrown at them by gangs of Muslim youth. All we're trying to do is hold an election campaign rally. We have specifically chosen not to go into the city centre. We specifically chose not to go near any Muslim estates in order for there to be no trouble. And still, they've come to these estates. They've come out of their areas and come to attack our campaign rally in a non-Muslim area. And still, watch the media try and spin this completely.
We're telling the police to go and do their job. We're telling the police that family's under attack.
As I predicted, the media would spin everything. Let's have a look at the Daily Mirror article. The Daily Mirror article has a picture of seven Muslim men attacking a lone white individual in a race hate attack. But they say people fighting. People fighting. Let's have a look at the video of actually what was happening there. This is a local resident being targeted by gangs like a pack of animals, violently beating him just because he was attending a political rally in his own estate. Men from out of town have come to attack him. And look how the media report on it. And the Manchester Evening News. Objects thrown and police vehicles smashed as violent erupts at Tommy Robinson demonstration. That's not what happened. We were holding a political rally with families. We were violently attacked. Let's have a look now. It says police vehicles smashed. Why are they not reporting who smashed the vehicles? Let's have a watch of the video so you can see who smashed those vehicles up.
See, this is what happens, you f*** with us. You guys. Wow, look at them bombs going off, man. Yo! Come on, man! Whoa!
So again, this footage from their own cameras, the Islamist cameras, the general public, of them attacking, and the media won't say it. All over the country, all over the world, cover it up. Don't let people know there's an invasion taking place.
Come on!
Tommy has his bank accounts taken away. Tommy has his websites taken away. Tommy gets kicked off Facebook, Twitter.
Look at the BBC headline.
They put him in prison.
All of these headlines, none of them tell you the truth of what happened. None of them name who the aggressors were. All of them paint a picture that I went into a town and started smashing up with my supporters. The complete opposite of the reality that happened. Why are they lying to you? And just so we get a full house, let's have a look at the Daily Mail's reporting on this. All of the mainstream media have lied to the public about what happened.
Lastly, let's look at the Independent newspaper, who are absolute trash. Tommy Robinson, police vehicles damaged during clashes at campaign event in Oldham. But wait for it, they actually joke in the line below and say that no milkshakes believed to have been thrown during the disturbances. Not only do they write the headline to push fake news that somehow I have caused damage to police cars, but they then make a joke about a previous assault, whilst ignoring the fact that violent masked Muslim gangs have travelled miles to attack innocent women and children.
We all talk about our rights and our freedoms. We all see our freedoms disappearing before us. The ability to have a campaign in 10 years' time, or 5 years' time, in fact, today, the ability to have a safe and free democratic political campaign in Oldham is gone. It's gone already.
Look what they've just thrown. There's women and children. There's women here.
Families come under violent, hostile attack by gangs of Muslims armed wearing balaclavas, supported by the police. That's the reality. That's what the headline should have said. Innocent bystanders, innocent members of the public going to a political rally. They're right. Their right and my right were violently attacked. But not one of the mainstream media have told you that. How many of these videos that you're seeing now in this, how many of them have you seen?
How many of them have the news reported? Could you imagine and reverse the roles? Imagine a Muslim politician talking to the Muslim community and hundreds of young English men wearing balaclavas.
All right, folks, we're going to go to break. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to finish up with this, but it's on newswars.com. It's censored on YouTube. They've got it age restricted. Everybody else should download it, re-upload it. We've got it saved to Infowars.com. We've got it on the live stream coming up. And there's so much more to this, but you're not supposed to see this. You're supposed to only buy the corporate lies when they send the Antifa and the Islamicists to attack you. Then it's your fault. That's why they want everybody off the air, so they can lie with impunity, like the Covington kids and like Jussie Smollett and like all the other staged events. And they're coming for everybody now. We're going to go to break. I'm going to come back. And I'm going to finish up this clip. And then I'm going to get to a bunch of other news that I haven't gotten to yet. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we are only here because you support us. And I thank you. And I appreciate you. And I salute you. But you have to understand, we are the biggest, most effective platform for when they shut everybody else down, which is now happening. We have a place to still punch it out. That's why Tommy called me yesterday. It's why he sent me the information. It's why when he's done campaigning tonight, I'm going to interview him again for a taped interview. We'll probably go live. That's why we need these independent systems. It's why we have to build our own organizations. That's why that's so precious that we have these ragtag systems. Because when the truth comes out, even if we're much smaller than all the corporate media together, all of that information still doesn't mean anything because it's lies. When people see the truth, it's David versus Goliath. So I want to encourage everybody to go to InfoWarsStore.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139 and stand with us and free speech worldwide and stand with the ability to have some true independent media that's under siege because it's effective and because we get news out when no one else is able to do it thanks to your support. Again, ladies and gentlemen, InfoWarsStore.com, InfoWarsLife.com, or 888-253-3139. We have a big special that has to end today, and that's the bottle of X3 for free. It's amazing. With a bottle of X2, 25% off. That special has to end. Learn about iodine deficiency, why it's so important, why these are the best iodines out there. Ultra 12, now twice as strong as Secret 12. Highest quality B12, 50% off. That special is going to go for another week. But the last day, and it is the last day, of X3, free bottle of X3, InfoWarsStore.com. A lot of other specials. Be sure and check it out. Always claims they're so radical, they're so cool, they're so rebellious. The most conforming thing in the world is the left now. And they're the most oppressive group out there trying to make everybody think the way they want. Oh, they'll sit there and say Alabama is trying to tell women how to live their lives. They don't criticize Islam for being against abortion, one of the good things Islam does. My issue is Islam is tribal, it's aggressive, and it's being protected and welded into the left to be used as a weapon against what's left of Western culture. We're told, abandon our culture. We're told, don't have a God. But then we're told, comport to somebody else's worldview. Here's the conclusion of Tommy Robinson being physically attacked, trying to have a rally in England this weekend. And then we'll come back with all the news.
Families come under violent, hostile attack by gangs of Muslims armed wearing balaclavas, supported by the police. That's the reality. That's what the headline should have said. Innocent bystanders, innocent members of the public going to a political rally. They're right. They're right and my right. Were violently attacked, but not one of the mainstream media have told you that. How many of these videos that you're seeing now in this, how many of them have you seen? How many of them have the news reported? Could you imagine and reverse the roles? Imagine a Muslim politician talking to the Muslim community and hundreds of young English men wearing balaclavas were escorted there by the police to throw rocks, missiles, to throw scissors and attack them when they're children there. Imagine that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what you call Pakistani men from my community. This is Ramadan. This is what you call peaceful Islam. I want to address the Pakistani men from my community. Shame on you! We have the right to have a political rally. The Pakistani men have no right to come here and attack young kids in the crowd by throwing bricks and balls. Shame on the Pakistani community.
I think, to be honest, the longer I stay here, the longer they're going to stay here. As it gets into the evening, the last thing we want is them not rioting across the city. So I'm going to make the decision. I'm going to leave. I'm going to love you all. I'm going to thank you all. I'm going to say that thank you all for coming, man. I'm sorry that the way this has been policed has allowed that. I'm sorry that there's members of this. In fact, it's not members of this town. They've travelled from everywhere. I've just heard online they've got Halifax Pakistanis. They've come from everywhere, they have. They've come from everywhere to kick off and cause violence. And the worst thing is, all the intelligence was there online. All the people inciting it were online. But I think the best thing, so that there's less disorders, for me to leave. So I thank you all for coming, yeah? We've got female supporters being glassed and attacked.
Mate, with me, I've just been glassed in me face.
Oh, it's been glassed up there. Where were you?
Mate, he's just put a pint glass in his face. So I'm making arrests.
If this doesn't make you vote on the 23rd of May, nothing will. Make sure you vote.
We've seen bricks being thrown at families and scissors. They're throwing scissors.
Throwing scissors, man!
Are you shoving it on camera? Scissors!
How are the media not telling you this? How has this been twisted and turned? Why don't they want you to know the reality of what happened? And then the local Labour MP, Jim McCartan, says that we had a peaceful rally in the town centre. We didn't have any problems. You didn't have 300 balaclavaed up thugs directed to your rally by the police to violently attack you with weapons, did you, Jim? Now, why would the police allow this? Why would this be allowed to happen on an election campaign? You've all witnessed. I've been physically assaulted multiple times. You've seen the police trying to prevent me campaigning Carlisle. And now this. Why would they let this happen? I'll let Mohammed tell you that.
I appreciate you speaking to me, but what my concern is this, right? Men from my community, you know exactly why they were out there. And they were here to cause trouble. Why on earth did the police officers did not stop them right at the end, right at the start of it? Is because they wanted this reaction to happen.
We certainly don't want it to happen.
Your chief constables do. Why? Because they want to label Tommy's supporters as the troubleshooters. That's why.
Right.
And you're playing into the hands of your chief constables under their orders. This is why this has happened.
Right. Okay.
The establishment has literally thrown everything at me during this campaign, but I never would have imagined they'd have their police lead a Muslim mob wearing balaclavas to my family-friendly campaign event to attack it. We all have a choice on May 23rd. I need you. If you want to send a message to all those traitors in Parliament, then vote for Tommy Robinson on May 23rd. It started off with milkshakes, and then it was eggs, and then bricks and violence, and complete attacks against innocent families. You've now witnessed what happened. The scary thing is, not one single politician, not one media outlet has condemned the behaviour of these masked thugs. Instead, they've all spun it completely and led the public to believe that my supporters and myself caused disturbances in Oldham. On May 23rd, send them all a message. I need every single one of you. Share this message everywhere. Share the truth. That's what I'm asking you to do. Share the truth about what happened in Oldham. Share it to your email list. Share it in your WhatsApp group. And let's send all of them a message together on May 23rd. Change is coming. For those of you worried about the children who had to be escorted out earlier from the demonstration, we caught up with them later on.
Did you read a card? We came last night. Did you see it?
The card's in my boot.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. I'll read it and put it on Telegram when I get home now. Cheers, thank you.
Thanks
so much. See you later, darling. No, cheers, thank you. Thank you, little man. And I'll read your card later, darling, all right?
Yeah.
Right, you all right?
Yeah.
See you later. See you later, bub. See you soon. See you later, little man. All right, sounds. See you soon.
And, folks, I'm fully behind Tommy. You know, the Brexit party is set in major polls to get 45% of the seats in this round of parliamentary elections in Europe, not just in England, but obviously the UK is still under the EU, so they have the EU Parliament. Even though the bureaucracy makes the decisions, the parliament is ceremonial, basically, but it still has power with the people because, obviously, it's elected. People know that it's legitimate, and Brussels and the bureaucrats aren't. Now, sure, Farage and UKIP got in a fight and split a couple years ago. Doesn't matter. UKIP's set to win a bunch of seats. So is Brexit. That is incredibly, incredibly exciting. There's the Telegraph. European elections, latest polls, Brexit party forecast to win most votes. Did you hear that? Or 45%. And again, if you're an American and don't know about parliamentary systems, you're like, well, wait a minute, you have to win 50-something percent to win. Well, no, they've got more than 15 parties. So the fact that they're set to win 40-plus percent out of all of those different parties and those seats is just huge. They're going to get the most seats. And that's only Farage's new anti-globalist party. Tommy's gotten in fights with him and stuff, so he's still with UKIP. Great, I don't care. UKIP, Brexit. Do you know how exciting this is that UKIP and Brexit is set to win the most seats in this parliamentary round? The EU is in trouble. Globalism is in trouble. Humanity is awake. This is an exciting time to be alive. That's why they're so scared. All over the world, nationalists and populists are getting elected. And yeah, they elected a nationalist in Brazil. So now the globalists are trying to plunge its economy. The public sees through it. He's just as popular as ever. So that's how they punish you, is economically. Do we want to be slaves to the system? Because they punish us up front if we don't submit. They're going to punish us like they've been doing with deindustrialization and globalism the whole time. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's things more important than money, isn't there? It's things like your culture and your rights and your freedoms. And the globalists come in and they take all of that from you. These articles are up on Infowars.com and Newswars.com. And people need to go see it. France does not belong to the French. 400-plus African migrants storm airport to demand asylum. That's coming up. Rapper sings IF France, I burn France, as he symbolically strangles a white woman. They've had a bunch of rap groups that are the top of the charts in Europe and the UK where this is the thing. You strangle the white woman. You destroy her. You rape her. Whites are the enemy. A new report finds Islamic terrorism in Europe has increased 725%. That's on Infowars.com. Nobody's going to know that unless you get it out. And look, I'm not bitching or complaining. I'm thanking you. But they want us shut down because they don't want a platform that's going to put all this together, show it to you, have the video, have the audio, have the guest, and then get it out to the rest of the world because they've got big political crackdowns coming and they want you silenced with no platforms when it happens. That's why supporting this platform is paramount. Commit today to tell folks about Infowars.com/show and commit to get some great products. Coffee, non-human heirloom seeds, water filtration, air filtration. Last day to get the free bottle of high-quality iodine. Infowarsstore.com, tomorrow's news today. Next hour is going to be a complete news blitz, and Caitlin Bennett and Millie Weaver in studio. Stay with us.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Beto O'Rourke thinks that he's figured out why there's 100,000 illegal aliens flooding across our border every month, and it has nothing to do with the fact that there's no border wall over half of it. So tell us, Bozo, what's really going on?
We know that increasingly those apprehensions include farmers from Honduras who are trying to persist in the face of historic droughts in that country. What they are planting is no longer growing. Soon enough along this trajectory, some of those countries will no longer support or sustain human life. At that point, 400,000 is going to be a drop in the bucket compared to what we will see arrive on the U.S.-Mexico border. The competition for resources in a warming planet is going to be absolutely fierce. I fear the judgment of the generations that will follow us, the people of the future, who will look look back on 2019 and 2020 and know full well that we had all the evidence and the facts and the science in front of us. All that we had to do was to muster the political will to make those decisive, bold choices right now. So that, to me, is the singular challenge that we have as a country.
Soon, countries south of the border won't be able to sustain life, he says. Well, you already can't drink the water in Mexico, so maybe he's onto something.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Running for president, but he's polling near zero. With your hashtags combined, I am Captain Planet.
Michael Brown didn't do nothing.
I support child drag queens like Desmond is amazing.
Down with the patriarchy.
CNN most trusted name in news. No habla inglés, amigo.
Beto was born for this. Yay.
I want to, like, save the environment and stuff. And to do that, we gotta stop these cow farts.
Yeah. Stop the cow farts. That was just the tip of the iceberg for this week's global warming circus, however. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio had organized a Green New Deal event right outside of Trump Tower. Except apparently it was pouring rain, and so he had to come inside. And since he's such a terrible mayor, people started shouting him down, and it didn't really go as well as he had planned.
Is this a good place to get your message out?
Look, had the weather cooperated, we would have been outside. That was the original plan. But it's a public place, and you know what?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this may be one of Mark Dice's, I think it is one of his best videos ever. So I'm going to play the rest of it coming up. But do you see the total hysteria? Global warming's going to cause the third world to collapse, and they're all going to come here. Then the globalists put in economic systems on record meant to collapse things, and then open the borders up and build refugee centers, and then tell you it's because everybody's underwater, and no one can grow crops, and everyone's dead, and the world's ending in 12 years unless you do exactly what de Blasio and AOC and Beto say. It's all coordinated. And countries like Spain that actually implemented the same Green Deal a decade ago, they now have 50% unemployment in people under 30, something like 25% unemployment in general. The country has fallen apart. It's been destroyed. This is an economic missile to destroy economies, to take them over, to conquer them. It's economic warfare. AOC is just a teleprompter reader. All of these globalists have been hired. They've all been set up to parrot the same garbage over and over again, and they must be stopped, and they must be called out. But you notice, what's their response to us? Jesus. The response to us is, shut us up and don't let us criticize them. The science is settled. Man-made global freezing is real. Give us all your money. That was in the 70s and 80s. Now it's man-made global warming. Now they went, well, let's just say change, period, and then it's all your fault and you're going to pass money. But 160-plus countries like China and India and Mexico, they're all exempt. Only the West has to be industrialized and have its system shut down industrially. All right, coming up, Trump and Iran getting pretty close to war. And a whole bunch more on the other side. I'm Alex Jones. This is InfoWars. And I'm going to play the whole Mark Dice report coming up. It's just too good. We didn't have time to play the whole thing in the 5 minutes we had. Stay with us.
It's 2 a.m. It's 2 a.m. Here it comes.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
You know, Al Gore claims he invented the internet in 1996, even though the patents were filed for it using that name in the late 1950s, and then it was officially set up with email-like systems in the 60s, and he's not officially accredited with it, but he said he invented it. But Joe Biden says he invented the whole fraudulent climate movement. Really, I thought it was the Club of Rome in 1968, but hey, if you want to take credit for this feudalistic monster, go ahead, Joe. Here he is.
My name is Samira. I'm part of the U.S. Youth Climate Strike, an organization. We, like, on March 15th, we organized a bunch of strikes across the nation. And now we have a petition to ask all the presidential candidates to support a forum where we're talking about the climate policy. And can you commit to be a nonstop leader and support?
By the way, I was. Just so you know, I'm the guy that did all this stuff. Read Real Clear Politics. I'll tell you about how I started this whole thing back in 87 with climate change.
Can you commit to be a leader?
Send what you need. I guarantee I'll be a leader.
Now, it is true that he is involved in the climate exchange in Chicago Mercantile, where you have to pay him money if they ever get the carbon taxes through. Because you pay private Rothschild Bank, actually. And Al Gore is involved. So it is true that he gets your money in the scam, but he did not come up with a scam. He does sound like he's either had an entire bottle of Jack Daniels in the last hour, or, again, he's having trouble because of those strokes he had where the doctor said he only had a 50% chance of coming back, and he's famous for slurred speech. But you're not allowed to question his medical background. Now, I started getting to a Mark Dice report, but I want to air the whole thing right now. Mark Dice has knocked it out of the park. The video's up on Infowars.com, and it's an absolute must see. Beto O'Rourke is Captain Planet. And again, he's saying in Honduras, remember the clip he's a month ago where he and AOC said 12 years till the earth's gone? He said rising floods, no farmland, Latin America underwater. Well, he just says these are all Honduran farmers who just have nothing. And the UN built refugee centers, they paid them to come up here. But now he's gone from a few months ago running for Senate telling you that there is no caravan. We can pull those clips up. There is no caravan, or it isn't a problem, and we don't need a border wall, and there is no problem, to saying everyone should be let in, and it's because of global warming, everybody's underwater in Honduras. That's not true. No one's ever said it. He thinks his constituents are a bunch of historic morons. Yes, hysterical morons. Here it is.
Burke thinks that he's figured out why there's 100,000 illegal aliens flooding across our border every month, and it has nothing to do with the fact that there's no border wall over half of it. So tell us, Bozo, what's really going on?
We know that increasingly those apprehensions include farmers from Honduras who are trying to persist in the face of historic droughts in that country. What they are planting is no longer growing. Soon enough along this trajectory, some of those countries will no longer support or sustain human life. At that point, 400,000 is going to be a drop in the bucket compared to what we will see arrive on the U.S.-Mexico border.
Oh, now there are no caravans just a few months ago. Now this is only the beginning. Yeah, once you break the border, create the conduits, they're giving $1,000 debit cards per leg, and everybody gets in, everybody gets put on welfare, and they have their anchor babies, and they tested the people. 30% are not the parents of the children. They've got kidnapped, smuggled kids. The Senate report admits it. It's okay, though, because they can no longer sustain life in Venezuela and places, not because of communism, but because of global warming. No, it's because of communism. They're rich in resources. Let's continue.
Competition for resources in a warming planet is going to be absolutely fierce. I fear the judgment of the generations that will follow us, the people of the future, who will look back on 2019 and 2020 and know full well that we had all the evidence and the facts and the science in front of us. All that we had to do was to muster the political will to make those decisive, bold choices right now. So that, to me, is the singular challenge that we have as a country.
Soon, countries south of the border won't be able to sustain life, he says. Well, you already can't drink the water in Mexico, so maybe he's onto something.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Running for president, but he's polling near zero. With your hashtags combined, I am Captain Planet.
Michael Brown didn't do nothing.
I support child drag queens like Desmond is amazing.
Down with the patriarchy.
CNN most trusted name in news. No hablo inglés, amigo.
Beto was born for this. Yay!
I want to, like, save the environment and stuff. And to do that, we got to stop these cow farts.
Yeah. Stop the cow farts. That was just the tip of the iceberg for this week's global warming circus. However, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio had organized a Green New Deal event right outside of Trump Tower. Except apparently it was pouring rain, and so he had to come inside. And since he's such a terrible mayor, people started shouting him down, and it didn't really go as well as he had planned.
Is this a good place to get your message out?
Look, had the weather cooperated, we would have been outside. That was the original plan. But it's a public place, and you know what? In New York City, we're perfectly tough. If people want to offer their opposition, it doesn't change me one bit. It doesn't change anyone here.
This was the scene directly behind him, where Trump supporters brought their own signs and rode up and down on the famous escalators while he was trying to give his speech. This is the guy who literally wants to ban skyscrapers in New York City. Meanwhile, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is now saying that her repeated claim that the world is going to end in 12 years was just a joke. Or at least I think that's what she said. I can't tell if this is her actual Twitter account or one of the parody accounts. She's calling us all out now for mocking her, saying that this is a technique of the GOP to take dry humor and sarcasm and literally fact-check it. Like the world is ending in 12 years thing. You'd have to have the social intelligence of a sea sponge to think it's literal. You're the one who said that a lot of millennials are afraid to have kids because they're concerned that global warming is going to bring the end of the world. And apparently Cory Booker didn't get the memo because now he's saying there's only 10 years left.
Let me just say that with climate change, we have 10 years to deal with it, but vulnerable communities are going to feel the impacts first. And so this cannot be something where we don't act with a sense of urgency. And we've got to be creative in the way we're going about it.
In fact, Bernie Sanders is now saying that global warming is one of our biggest national security issues.
You also know that intelligence and defense agencies in the United States and all over the world see climate change as a major national security issue.
All right, so again, no other nation does this, but Western nations will be shut down. And AOC and Beto and all of them are very clear. They said the world was ending in 12 years. Okay, if we don't do whatever they say and pay them carbon taxes. And now they put out tweets and make statements saying it's fake, we made it up. No, lady, you did put out your Green Deal saying if you're unable to work or don't want to work, you'll be given a living wage. You did say that. First you gave a speech endorsing it. Then you said we made it up. Then you had to back off of that. You're a lying, evil-eyed weasel. We have the videos. We know what you've said. We know what you've done. We're aware of it. Stop trying to constantly lie. We come back. I'm going to play those clips for you, ladies and gentlemen, because she's denying it. She's saying it doesn't exist. We're going to show it to you and show you her tweet and finish Mark Dice's report where she is saying that she didn't say it. You made it up. You're a liar. They practice just insulting us. There are no mothers and fathers. There are no boys and girls. We're going to forcibly inoculate you. There is no world government, but the Pope just called for world government. It is cuckoo land. We're in a total war. You're the best audience on the planet. The globalists take your guts. I love you to death. I'm not bitching at you. I'm thanking you. I'm just telling you. You are the power. You are the resistance. And when you word of mouth, and when you on your own email and your own text message or wherever you can, tell folks about the videos and the articles at Infowars.com and what we're doing on air, it changes the world and overrides the globalists. We can beat AOC. We can beat Cory Booker. We can beat David Rockefeller. He's already in the grave. We can beat their system, but we've got to stand against it. So let's do it. Let's do it now.
From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
So we just played a clip of AOC saying that we made it up. She never said there should be a wage for people that don't want to work. She never said the world was going to end in 12 years. She was being sarcastic when she did. So that's what these moral relativists do in the left. So let's go ahead and play a clip of her and again, Beto, and what they really said.
Along this current trajectory, there will be
see people who can no longer live in the cities that they call home today. There is food grown in this country that will no longer prosper in these soils. There is going to be massive migration of tens or hundreds of millions of people from countries that are literally uninhabitable or underwater that are above the sea right now. This is our final chance. The scientists are absolutely unanimous on this, that we have no more than 12 years to take incredibly bold action on this crisis, the crisis that could, at its worst, lead to extinction.
I think that the part of it that is generational is that millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is, your biggest issue is, how are we going to pay for it? Mm-hmm. And like, this is the war. This is our World War II.
The worst part of that, I don't know if it translates over AM radio, because we're on a lot of AM radio stations as well. Everyone, I'm precious. But the interviewee, the interviewer is going, like, ooh, I'm getting some heavy truth there. The Earth is going to end in 12 years. And again, I keep going back to this, not for lack of news, because Beto and her are back in the news saying, we're all dead if you don't do this. But she's trying to back off a little. He's not backing off. He's getting more insane, saying that we have hundreds of thousands every few weeks slamming into the United States, not because the UN set up refugee centers, not because they advertised they should do it, not because they did the same thing to Europe, but because there's no crops growing in Latin America. I'm going to explain something, and I know the audience is smart, so I don't want to be condescending, but I'm going to explain something. Places like Honduras in Central America and places like Venezuela in northern South America have soils that are the best in the world. They have incredible wildlife, incredible fish, incredible timber. They have way more resources than the average area of the United States. It's joke level. But just like Africa, because of the corruption and the governments and the systems they have and the cultures, they can't get it together. Africa has so many resources, sub-Saharan particularly. Every resource you can imagine, Africa's got it. It's the only continent that has everything. 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 The U.S. has a lot of dinosaur bones for some reason. So does China. Africa doesn't have a lot of dinosaur bones, though. But it's got a lot of gold, lithium, everything else you can imagine. It's got everything, every rare earth mineral, every gem, farmland, volcanic soil, everything you need. What do you think Venezuela has? Volcanic soil. Why do you think we sell coffee from southern Mexico on the Guatemalan border? There's volcanoes. They grow them on the sides of volcanoes. Some of them are active volcanoes. Why do you think Greece has such good food? Volcanic soil. Why do you think areas of Italy have such good soil? Volcanoes. Why do you think the best coffee in the world comes from places? You can get really expensive Hawaiian coffee that's excellent as well. It's grown on the side of volcanoes. They've got everything. We don't have coffee from the continental U.S. because we don't have the soil to grow it. You can grow it, it just doesn't taste good. Ours is from southern Mexico. I think it's some of the best coffee out there. And this is kind of a plug while I'm talking about a story, but think about this. Think about the insanity of this, that Venezuela, again, until the 50s, was richer per citizen than the United States. The average Venezuelan citizen had more money than a U.S. citizen, even when the U.S. was in a boom time. Oh, and it wasn't the only country that was as good or better. Argentina. The Argentines. Again, these are facts, but they got globalist governments in, they got socialist governments in, and they wrecked their economies. They sold out their people. Their people aren't fleeing up here from Latin America because they don't have grass fields that have got like 6 foot tall grass. They do. All over Central and South America, they've got some of the best cattle grazing the planet's ever seen. They don't even have basically winters down there. Year round, folks. Year round. Mexico has three planting seasons. Three. The United States has 1.5. Places like Brazil have 4 planting seasons. Venezuela has 4 planting seasons. Honduras has 3 planting seasons and volcanic soil and all the water they could ever want. And Beto tells you they're not fleeing communism. They're not fleeing socialism. They're not fleeing corruption. They're fleeing, new word. They are fleeing climate change, a load of crap. And again, we've got to get the videos together from just a few months ago. What, 4 months ago, 5 months ago, running for Senate? There is no climate change or whatever. At that point, he wasn't pushing that as his big talking point. It was all there is no caravan. There is no border crisis. There is no problem. Remember all that? Jim Acosta saying there's no caravans. Trump's made up the caravans. He's made up the crisis. Well, that's not what they say now. Bernie Sanders says Trump is to blame for the caravans. Trump is what did it. And it is climate change. And so does Cory Booker. And so does Beto O'Rourke. And so does AOC. And why do they all say the same thing over and over again? Because it's a way to take control of your life. They're not going to get rid of high-rises or skyscrapers or hot dogs. They're going to make you pay them money. I'm Bernie Sanders. I bankrupt businesses. I give my children money from the colleges to bankrupt them. And my campaign head is a convicted swindler. That's what I do. The earth is going to end unless you give me money. I'm Bernie Sanders. Who could stand against me? Western culture might wake up and say no to me. I have an answer. Outlaw Western culture and families. I'm Bernie Sanders. I rule you now.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Is the U.S. involved with any procuring of weapons, transfer of weapons, buying, selling, anyhow transferring weapons to Turkey out of Libya?
To Turkey?
It is a big idea. A new world order.
How is it that this organization is so well-funded, so organized?
Islamic State-linked militants have gained a stronger foothold in Libya, seizing new economically vital areas of the country.
The leader of ISIS in Libya is none other than Abdel Hakim Belhaj. And of course, he was armed to the teeth by NATO.
A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
The Russians say they're negotiating with North Korea to hold joint military exercises. Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin teaming up, creating an ominous alliance against the United States.
Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is aggressively opposing the nuclear deal that the U.S. government is negotiating with Iran.
Saudi Arabia is apparently prepared to allow Israeli jets into its airspace to conduct attacks on Iran.
We have an unprecedented opportunity to build a new world order.
I set up a foundation in Ukraine and played an important part in events now.
Ukraine is set to receive the first tranche of an International Monetary Fund aid package.
We had brokered a deal to transition power in Ukraine.
Vladimir Putin is on the move.
Only when this transformation is complete will we be able to take full measure of the opportunities presented by this new and evolving world order.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
Mm-hmm.
guys doing?
What is insurrection? A rebellion or rising of citizens or subjects in resistance to their government. In 2017, the Justice Democrats and brand new Congress seek to undermine the democratic system by electing fake politicians. Antifa is conspiring with the Mexican cartel to stage an armed rebellion at the border. And Democrats continue pushing for open borders while patriots are silenced on the internet. This all qualifies as insurrection, but there is something far more deadly that has been taking root within America for decades. Islamist terrorist compounds have been found all over the country, training for Islamic jihad.
With the election of Donald Trump, they believe that their end times prophecies that they believe in are now being fulfilled. Donald Trump is part of a satanic Jewish conspiracy, and they are preparing for the camps to be raided and to fight back.
Brooklyn imam and CNN contributor Siraj Wahaj was involved in the first World Trade Center bombing and has clearly stated his support for Islamic jihad.
Islam is better than a democracy. In time, the so-called democracy will crumble, and there will be nothing. And the only thing that will remain will be Islam.
His son was found training children to be terrorists in New Mexico and Alabama. Young children in a Philadelphia mosque were found singing songs about killing and torturing non-Muslims. Muslim clerics are openly calling for jihad. Experts on Islamic jihad have warned us.
There is no place in the world where Muslims have come that they haven't started wars against the non-Muslims. Why do we think we're going to be different?
The leader of the Iranian nationalist movement has warned us.
چون گاورمنت های اروپا به ناحق دارن از رادیکالیسم اسلامی دفاع میکنن. پس باید منتظرش باشن که همین بلا روزی سرشون بیاد.
Islamic reformer Mohammad Tawhidi has warned us.
The Islamist movement has been very clear in their goal, and that is to establish their own caliphate. On the other side, the left not only sympathize with them, they're applying democratic values onto an extremist group that doesn't believe in democracy. They want Sharia law.
Despite these dire warnings, our elected officials have continued to support Islam. We have a congresswoman who openly supports Islamic jihad.
Should we reassess the way that we are dealing with al-Shabaab?
Her constituents in Minneapolis want Sharia law in America.
Do you feel more comfortable living under American law, or do you feel more comfortable living under Sharia law?
Sharia law.
I'm a Muslim. I prefer Sharia law.
Sharia law, yes.
You prefer Sharia law over American law?
Of course, yeah. Of course, yeah.
And do you find most of your friends feel the same way?
Yeah, of course. If you're Muslim, yeah.
He can make his daughter marry somebody.
Yeah.
Is it right to kill somebody who insults Muhammad?
Yeah, because she's just, she hates the religion, I understand. But she shouldn't beat up the prophet, you know?
And they don't even want to live here.
You have a choice. Would you rather live here, or would you rather live in a Muslim country?
I'd rather live in a Muslim country with my people.
Would you prefer to live in America or prefer to live in Somalia?
For me, I think it's Somalia.
Would you rather live in America or live in Somalia?
I'd rather live in Somalia.
For those who are not brainwashed by the mainstream media, insurrection is clearly happening in America. And President Trump invoking the Insurrection Act is clearly within America's best interests.
I believe that President Trump is one of the best things that have ever happened to the White House. This is very, very serious. You have a president that will really go after the extremists and not care what anybody else thinks.
Islamic jihad will never end unless we start fighting back.
But the point I'm getting across is that we are trying to treat a person humanely when they're not human. They're not human. We come to America warning the Christians, and the Christians don't want to listen. What do you want us to do? If I'm telling you, I fled from this guy, and this guy is now moving next door, and you're telling me I'm Islamophobe, how can I help you? If we want to be realistic, the only medicine for ISIS and their likes is when the Christians rise to defend Europe and defend their sacred sites and their churches. That's the only way that these people will wake up.
For NewsWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
And that remote clips on InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. Here's President Trump talking about the military-industrial complex and how they want war. Pretty powerful. Here it is.
We have tremendous power economically. If I can solve things economically, that's the way I want it.
So you can reassure people you're not looking for some kind of conflict in Iran. And
well, I'm the one that talks about these wars that are 19 years and people are just there. And don't kid yourself, you do have a military-industrial complex. They do like war. You know, in Syria with the caliphate. So I wipe out 100% of the caliphate. That doesn't mean you're not going to have these crazy people going around blowing up stores and blowing up things. These are seriously ill people. I don't want to say, oh, they're wiped out, you know, ISIS. But I wiped out 100% of the caliphate. I say, I want to bring our troops back home. The place went crazy. They want to keep, you have people here in Washington. They never want to leave. I say, you know what I'll do? I'll leave a couple of hundred soldiers behind. But if it was up to them, they'd bring thousands of soldiers in. Someday people will explain it.
Well, this is an example.
But you do have a group, and they call it the military-industrial complex. They never want to leave. They always want to fight. No, I don't want to fight. But you do have situations like Iran. You can't let them have nuclear weapons. You just can't let that happen.
So that's an example, I think, of what people liked in 2016, where you didn't come over as a traditional Republican.
No, but I haven't changed.
And that...
Well, take a look.
That's what we talk about on our show, the popular. I just want to go through a couple of...
I gave the generals, I said, go ahead. You got 1 year. See what you can do in Afghanistan. So they fight. But, you know, we've taken it way down.
Powerful stuff. All right. Millie Weaver, Caitlin Bennett in studio. I'm Alex Jones. We'll be right back. And they're hosting the fourth hour out of the War Room. Stay with us.
We've got it.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you want to go?
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
All right, Caitlin Bennett, Millie Weaver in studio for this segment. Then they take over in the next hour. And I said, what do you want to get into? And my God, you've got a lot to cover. Infant mortality in the United States is just exploding. And it's because they do things like spinal taps. If your baby gets a fever, which then gives them meningitis and opens up the body, everything is about being bioethics in to hurt babies. And they know what they're doing. They're fully aware of their operations. Also, you brought in your beautiful baby daughter today. Mm-hmm. Known you guys for years. Watched your son grow up, you and Gavin. And she's just amazing. She's had no vaccines. We'll talk about her test and how she's in the top 100%. That special video, that's all in the next hour that mothers and fathers and families and people need to see. I've got a lot to cover here, but I'm gonna eject here, or I'll take over, as I always do. What else, Caitlin and Millie, is on your radar? What else are you going to be covering next hour?
Well, you know, I know Caitlin has been talking a lot to me recently about the abortion debate in this country. We've seen many conservative states like Alabama recently change laws to protect babies from the moment of conception, even in some. And some of it's with the heartbeat. But that's a huge deal because we know, Alex, that the woman who was part of Roe versus Wade, she came out years later wanting to undo Roe versus Wade. She said, this was wrong. You know, I lied in court. I didn't testify to the best knowledge. And now there's evidence that these babies are living. They feel pain.
And the new textbooks teach that they're cancers, that they're parasites. They have stupid Saturday Night Live skits saying mine. But, I mean, the Democrats have gone so far, they want to kill babies and have passed laws in several states after they're born. So... Are we going to kill a 50-year-old and say it's a post-birth abortion? It's gotten out of control, and the left can't believe they're losing the debate.
Exactly. You know, Caitlin, your report recently in Houston, tell us about what the people said there.
So there were a few people, I was asking them, when does human life begin? And a lot of people would say when they pass through the birth canal, when they take a breath of oxygen. And I'm like, what's in the oxygen? What's in the air that makes you automatically a person when you were unborn the day before? What's the difference? And it was really troubling. And
so saying the spark of God is in the atmosphere.
Something's in the air making us humans, after our mom gives birth to us. But one woman said that it's up to the parents to decide when life begins. It's up to them to decide.
Which is the bioethics board, which is Dr. Peter Singer that founded PETA. He says kill kids up to age 3.
Exactly. And what's brilliant is she gets them to realize, she asks them, so when does life end? Like medically, when does life end? Well, when the heart stops beating, right? So then when does it begin? And then they have this dumbfounded look on their
face. It's a powerful video. I saw it a few days ago. Tell folks the name of it. And then we'll repost it to Infowars.com so folks can find it.
So we haven't done the one from Houston yet, but there are some on Liberty Hangout YouTube of us talking about abortion. We did a pop quiz video at the Women's March about, you know, how many, what's the biggest cause of death in the United States? It's obviously abortion. But there's a lot of videos on Liberty Hangout's YouTube.
And again, they've got their arguments, but when you get deep down, it's about body parts. It's about dehumanization. It's about depopulation. It's about eugenics. It's not about what they claim it's about.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And even with what we've been seeing with the vaccines, I mean, you have doctors that want to just say, oh, you know what? We need to all just vaccinate our kids because of the herd immunity. You'll hear this argument all the time. The herd immunity, the herd immunity. Anytime you mention, well, there's a possibility that my child could be one of those statistics that end up with autism or autoimmune disorders or brain damaged or even die from SIDS or some other issue. Yet they say, oh, well, the herd immunity takes precedent. Well, wait a second. My child is not cattle. Okay, so why do you keep coming at us with herd immunity?
Vaccines have liability protection like no other drug company has. They have immunity in court. They're not tested for effectiveness. And then now they're saying it's disinfo if we criticize them. That's just consumers' views of, I don't like this hotel. I don't like this restaurant. I don't like this doctor. The medical cartel, starting with vaccines, is trying to set the precedent where we can't criticize medical events that we saw for ourselves.
This
hospital sucks. It's dirty. The doctors are jerks, blah, blah, blah. This hospital's great. They were wonderful. They're trying to say you aren't allowed to comment on the priest class.
Exactly. And here's a good one. If the doctor is trying to corner you as a parent and pressure you into vaccines, even though there's a risk that your child could be injured from it, just ask them this. Say, hey, doctor, if my child is injured, are you going to sign a contract that if my child's injured, I can hold you personally liable for my child being brain damaged?
They'll never do it.
You're gonna sell your home. You're gonna be held liable for my child being injured. Instantly, the doctors back off. They don't want to have anything to do with that.
In the past, Western universities taught nonconformity, rugged individualism, do your own research, stand up for yourself. Now they teach compliance. They've gotten rid of the Hippocratic Oath in many hospitals for many doctors, and they think this is cool. I was talking to one of my wife's family members, who's a registered nurse. And I was talking about how they, at some facilities, keep babies alive and take their organs. That's why they're passing that law. And she goes, well, I'm not involved in that, but I know nurses that are. That's what you do with organ donors. You keep them alive. And I meant, so the baby's considered not going to be born, but they keep it alive in an oxygen tent to harvest the organs. And she was just like, started kind of like having an anxiety attack. Because, see, this has all been mainlined. And so you're a nurse and on another wing, they've got babies alive because they're going to harvest them in a day or two. They're getting all the people lined up, getting them ready, getting the aircraft ready. Because you got to keep the little flesh ball comfortable. It's not alive. We say baby dead, but keep it comfortable while it's dead so we get the good of good. And then once we get the flesh ball, you make the skin, the blood, and the organs. See how it works? But these very people are like, but that's what you do with an organ donor. And I'm like, oh, like a guy that has a car wreck, they say he's brain dead, and they keep him alive in the oxygen tent while they get, and they're like, oh, you see how it works.
You know what's interesting is they're even on social media now starting to censor parents that talk about vaccines, and they're trying to censor people that talk about
why are you
pro-life?
Against the flesh ball? We say it's not alive, not a human.
we keep it comfortable.
Oh, yeah, that's what they'll do. They'll try to say anything to say it's not alive.
Why not hanging up by its feet and electrocuted a while if it's not even a human or alive? Why we keep it comfortable?
The doctors.
You know, I'm imitating the governor of Virginia. You know, he talks about we keep the little flesh ball comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the dehumanization of babies. And something that I really want to get into the next hour when we're hosting Millie is how if we choose undesirable traits for people, we are no better than what Hitler did or when we had slavery. These are innocent circumstances of babies. They didn't choose this life. Someone else chose for them to come into this life.
But mama chose where the baby lived.
Exactly. And then one person I talked to yesterday, she goes, so the parent decides when life begins. And I said, okay, so if the parent chooses life begins at 1 year old outside the womb, can you kill it? And she's like, oh, you're just trying to twist my words. And I'm like, you said it. You said it. Own up to your words or admit that what you said was wrong.
And that's what it is. They take followers in this culture to the universities and like they agree with NPR's orthodoxy. So they're part of the anointed. And really all you are is soulless, jealous, anti-free speech, anti-life monsters.
You know, they're trying to twist the truth to get us to believe their argument that they actually believe these aren't living beings. Because give me a break. The day before a baby's born, we all know
they
it's
want
human.
Power over life and death. They're a sign on death cult. You ladies are about to take over. Please remember, these great reporters, all the work we do is financed by you buying the products. Get our great coffee. When you love it, sign up for AutoShip so you can support us every month, get an additional 10% off. Get Ultra 12, the amazing vitamin B12, methylcobalamin, twice as strong as Secret 12, 50% off. And today is the last day. Get a free bottle of X3 when you get 25% off on X2. Learn about the iodine conspiracy at InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. So again, that is all coming up on the other side of this quick break. I'm going to air a special report so these great ladies have a chance to move over here in the chairs and get ready, and then they'll be back. And George Soros and the globalists and others really hope you don't tell neighbors, friends, family, people randomly at the gas station how you're listening on AM and FM or how you're watching on local TV or cable or how you are watching or listening over the internet. Whatever you do, remember, that's how we stand up. We're starting to win for pro-life. We're starting to win for nationalism. We're starting to win for privacy. But the globalists worldwide are taking the gloves off and saying, we're not going to let you do that. We're going to keep the baby alive. We're going to get the goodies. We're going to get the Ferrari off that money. So that is all coming up. But first, pharma kingpins run their game on America. John Bowne and myself report. And then Millie Weaver, Caitlin Bennett, running the show at the Alex Jones broadcast on the other side. Stay with us.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones. Now you're standing
there. The American people are being played for chumps. Just chumps, paying four times the cost for the same drug in another OECD country? We're chumps.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Hey, Alex Jones is still on the air 6 days a week at InfoWars.com. Free video streams are available at InfoWars.com/show. Spread those links and be a part of the second American revolution against global tyranny. You are all Paul Revere. Following the arrest of John Kapoor, the founder of Insys Therapeutics, for conspiring to bribe doctors to prescribe addictive painkillers to patients that didn't need them.
It took 15 days for a federal jury in Boston to find former Insys Therapeutics chairman John Kapoor and four other former company executives guilty as part of what prosecutors described as a nationwide conspiracy.
The BBC reported John Kapoor, the former billionaire, was found guilty of racketeering conspiracy for his role in a scheme which also misled insurers. Along the way, Insys Therapeutics had a rap video made to educate their employees on boosting sales for its fentanyl spray, Subsys. An obvious homage paid toward the crack-slinging epidemic of the 1980s into the early 90s.
bad? Well, I'm the baddest. I was created in a lab in the land of the cactus. I'm the man in the city, can't match this. Even if you ran and you planned and you practiced.
It became very clear that the opioid crisis, which has killed tens of thousands of Americans, is one of systemic failure brought on by the pharmaceutical kingpin's iron grip on the healthcare industry and Congress.
Do you know of any instances where branded pharmaceutical drug companies paid a generic competitor not to compete as part of a patent settlement?
So patent litigation is part of the Hatch-Waxman.
Do you know of any instances where that's happened?
I know that the Supreme Court has addressed instances where that has been the allegation.
But the American people are being played for chumps. Just chumps. Paying four times the cost for the same drug in another OECD country? We're chumps.
More people in the county are dying due to overdosing on prescription drugs, specifically painkillers.
They're going in, they're saying they have these pains, and then they're turning around and doctors are prescribing them the pain meds.
A woman is admitted to the ER for a prescription pill overdose every 3 minutes. What's more, the number of women dying from prescription pill overdoses jumped 400% between 1999 and 2010.
What did his doctors and healthcare providers say to him?
Basically, that he needed to continue to take the medication.
And all of them?
All of them.
When he came home, did he continue to take all the medication?
He followed the doctor's orders.
The next month, Green died in his sleep.
This crisis is being sort of largely overlooked by the general population. People are aware of it, but they're not angry about it in a way that's really commiserate with the scope of what we're facing today. A lot of people have described it to me as sort of what we experienced in the 1980s and 90s when we faced the AIDS epidemic.
MM&M reported, it's one thing when a drug maker targets a doctor for delivering marketing talks because he or she is a dynamic speaker. It's quite another for the manufacturer to recruit the clinician because they're a high prescriber of a particular brand who can boost sales, sometimes by writing scripts for unapproved uses. Unfortunately, the latter scenario has happened all too often at most major pharma companies. Most have paid fines for such malfeasance and have entered into so-called corporate integrity agreements with the government. But in most cases, there's been no admission of guilt for their promotional stunts. It was almost as if fines for the abuses were simply considered the cost of doing business. It's obvious that pharmaceutical lobbyists have rigged the game, and there's little Congress is willing to do about it other than continue to take their cut.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back. I am Millie Weaver, and my guest host here, Caitlin Bennett, the Kent State Gun Girl, and you are watching The Alex Jones Show. Well, we saw an amazing John Bowne report during the break, and he really gets into the opioid crisis, and that really made me think about the opioid problem we're having actually in Ohio, your home state, where you have these massive drug overdoses increasing in the nation, and many of that is linked to the fentanyl use. They're actually putting fentanyl in many of these drugs now, and most of these drug users don't know it, and they take the drugs and they lethally overdose, and this has caused the drug death toll to just skyrocket across the United States. And you know, this kind of goes more into the drug problems we have in the United States and how dangerous it is. You know, some people say, hey, we should just legalize everything. Others want to really crack down. Well, you know, I'm kind of somewhere along the lines of, you know, I wouldn't want my loved one to take opiates on accident laced with fentanyl and overdose and die. You know, that's a scary thing that's happening across the United States right now. And it speaks to the problem at the border, where we have drugs flowing in from cartels.
Well, first we need to look at why we have such a drug problem. And I'm a libertarian, so I believe that you should be able to do what you want. And the government shouldn't come in and be able to say, you know, like, you can't do that. But there is an overarching problem because the drug war started with a racist policy. And now people have to lace their drugs to make them stronger, because when you try to ban something, it just makes it 10 times worse. So the black market for drugs is really bad right now. And they're just making everything stronger in a little doses that they can get it across the border. They can sell it like that. So, boy, this has been a problem in the making decades ago.
For a very long time. And, you know, we saw what has happened in Colorado, though. You know, I lived in Colorado for a while, and I kind of witnessed a lot of the legalization and medicalization with cannabis. And we saw how they were actually able to make sure that people who were going to use it regardless, either for medical reasons, whatever, that they were able to get safe medicine or cannabis. It's not going to be laced with something. They're not going to worry about overdosing. So at least in that way, it's safe. You put it in the hands of American businessmen rather than the hands of drug cartels. That's the bottom line. We don't want drug cartels being the ones who are gaining all this money, all this power, because what do they do with that money? They buy guns. And then they terrorize people in their home countries. And that's what we've seen going on in Mexico and places like that.
Where they terrorize people with their guns that American citizens can't, in cities where American citizens can't have guns to protect themselves in turn, which is incredibly unfortunate and ironic. So the drug problem is just so overarching. And it's just a problem that now, because we started the drug war, has become something that we don't know how to control. Because if we legalize everything, you know, what happens there? But if we start going more into the drug war, what happens there? It's something that is not easily answered. Maybe we need to change our society to be like, don't take drugs, instead of being like, oh, it's so cool to do this and whatever. Maybe we should be telling people.
Well, yeah, I mean, there should be more like rehabilitation centers, obviously.
Yeah.
More rehab. And we know that Trump and, you know, others have talked about trying to loosen up harsh penalties on people that have been thrown in jail for decades for, you know, a little bit of cannabis or something. Yeah. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton and Comey and all of these Democrats can commit all these insane crimes against the country, essentially tyrannical acts against the country, yet they are free. You know, that's one of the things. I mean, we just recently went out to cover the MAGA Bash 2019 down in Galveston. And one of the main things that the Trump supporters out there were saying was they still want Hillary locked up. Americans are not letting go. They want Hillary locked up. The crimes that have been committed against the American people are just too much. You know,
absolutely. I mean, they still chant at Trump rallies, lock her up, because they still remember. The mainstream media wants you to forget. They want you to forget. They don't want to show where the Trump supporters are chanting lock her up. And when they do, it's to demonize Trump supporters. But we remember what happened in Benghazi. We remember the lies that she told everybody about that situation and that she still tells to this day. Something needs to happen to our politicians. They need to be held accountable for their actions.
Not to mention Haiti. I mean, all that money that was supposed to go to the Haitian people.
Yeah.
And the Clinton Foundation just took all that. I mean, that was ridiculous. Okay, that was ridiculous. But, you know, getting back to the whole drug epidemic in America, that's why so many people want the border wall. They want a secure border, because you don't want these cartels gaining power, money, and access to our country. I mean, it's a security issue, but what happens when you have drug dealing cartels like, you know, MS-13 and others roaming our streets in America, selling drugs, getting into violent shootouts and drug wars with each other in our country? That's not going to be good for our country. And, you know, people in Mexico, the reason they're all trying to come here is to get away from those cartels. And because even when they're in Mexico, they cannot defend themselves. They don't have a Second Amendment, you know, and you go out and debate so many liberal college kids that don't know anything about the country that we live in and why our rights are so important. I mean, how many college kids are you hearing this from?
They don't want a border wall, but then they don't want people, especially college students or anyone, to have firearms to protect themselves against the people who are coming across that border wall. And it's not families. It's not mostly kids and women trying to find a better life. It's terrorists. I mean, Trump said it perfect. They're not sending their best people across the wall. That's plain and simple. We know it's not happening. And then the Democrats come in and they say, we're going to let all of these people bringing drugs, bringing their own guns, bringing their own problems, sex trafficking into the country. And we're going to strip your gun rights away from you. So we're going to let them in. We're going to let them terrorize you. And you can't protect protect yourselves. So I just think it's incredibly insulting. It's insulting. And I oftentimes try to have these conversations with college students to let them know, like, this is what's happening at the border. This is why we need to protect ourselves. And it's like, I don't know if they just can't put the link together, but they don't, because they're getting their information from college leftist professors and CNN and MSNBC. So they're not going to listen to me.
You know, one thing, Caitlin, I'm sure a lot of listeners and viewers out there are curious to know, what made you get involved? Like, why did you start going out? Because even before you worked at InfoWars, you were already out there. You did your photo op, you know, with your gun on campus. You started going out and quizzing people and doing these reports. What inspired you to do that?
So I have always been a fan of you, Millie. I watched your videos. So I was like, that would be so cool if I could just be like Millie or whatever and do the things that she does. I was once a fan of Cabot Phillips, no longer. But I was like, I would love to be able to do that and have a big name for myself, because I think it would be so fun. But what got me into everything was David Hogg. I thought that he was incredibly fake. He was a puppet. He didn't know what he was talking about. And the mainstream media propped him up like he was the saint. He knew so much about everything. He's so brave. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy couldn't even lift a gun. Why is he talking about banning them? So I was like, I have to be that person that goes out and shows a different side. And as a woman, I think it makes it much more of an impact. But from there, I seized an opportunity. I have a great work ethic and I did it. And now
you've been so successful. I mean, Caitlin Bennett has generated tens of millions of views on social media, and she's done a great job getting these issues and points out to many people by being controversial. And sometimes you just have to go out there and do it. And that's why, you know, I'm so glad that you're now with InfoWars. And, you know, that's why we need your guys' support. We need all the support we can get from you, the listener, because it's your support that allows us to hire reporters like Caitlin Bennett so that she can then go out and cover more events here and there and expose the liberals for the uneducated, intolerant, crazy, emotionally incompetent people that they are. So come back on the other side of this break. We will be talking about abortion in this country and the debates that are sparking up on social media.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Welcome back. I'm Millie Weaver, and we have Caitlin Bennett guest hosting, and you're watching The Alex Jones Show. Now, the liberals, the SJWs, want to tell you that, you know, it's your body, your choice. You can choose whether or not to kill your baby, but you can't choose whether or not to vaccinate your baby. The Democrats don't want you to have a choice in that matter. And, you know, we see so many times these parents coming out and telling these stories about how their children, just the lights turn. They become autistic. They develop autoimmune diseases, disorders, and they watch their child literally go away. The lights in their eyes go away right before their eyes. And it's just insane. I have a 3-month-old baby now. I just had my baby daughter.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you, Caitlin. And this isn't my first one. I have a son. But the bottom line is that the doctors always want to pressure you about vaccines. You know, I know we have slightly, you know, our own opinions all across the conservative realm. Everyone has opinions about vaccines. But I think the most important opinion is that we, the parents, should have the right to choose. do we want this vaccine list, which is already insanely long, to get even longer and longer and longer? And then we don't have a choice whether or not we vaccinate our children. And then at what point is it we don't have a choice whether or not we get vaccinated? Do you want to have to get flu shots every year or multiple flu shots every year? Because that's what they're going with. That's where it's heading. And, you know, here comes Alex Jones. I think he's got something to say on vaccines.
No, it's crazy. We've got a special guest, Elmo, in his real voice. Elmo wants to, this is going viral on Twitter right now. Yes. Paul Watson in Elmo's body.
Yes, let's hear what Elmo has to say about vaccines.
I don't know if you were happy that day, but I read on your Facebook page you were getting a vaccination. You were singing.
A PhD immunologist and vaccine proponent recently admitted during a conference that babies are only given shots up to age one in order to train the parents to get their children into the medical system.
And they just stuck you with it.
And that the vaccines are completely worthless. The notion that babies are being injected with vaccines in the first year of their life simply in order to brainwash parents into feeding their children into the medical system is an extremely disturbing premise.
So that was Don Lemonhead, the talking mouthpiece pundit, interviewing Elmo with Paul Joseph Watson, voiceovering some facts about vaccines there. So, I mean, Elmo seemed to have a lot to say about vaccines, Caitlin. What do you think about that?
He had a lot to say, and I'm shocked. I'm shocked that Elmo said that, but it looked like Don Lemonhead there was
I mean, what do you think, Caitlin? You tend to be a little bit more libertarian-leaning.
Yes.
What do you think? What's your opinion on the vaccine subject, given that, you know, libertarians tend to be leaning more like they think the government shouldn't be telling them what to do? I mean, what's your stance on vaccines?
So, I have a confession. I have always been very pro-vaccine. I went to school for a zoology degree / biology degree, and we talked a lot about vaccines in our classes, but we never talked about the dangers. So once I started getting into politics and I started watching InfoWars and I heard all of these things, I was like, oh my gosh, like,
exactly.
That's the truth. They don't want you.
That's what the problem is. Many of these nurses, they vaccinate their children as well because they hear the same thing in medical school. They only tell you about, you know, why you need it, what it does, and they don't ever talk about
the
negative.
What they also do is they bring up the fact that that one doctor said that it causes autism, and then they really hound you with the fact that he lost his license to practice medicine. And like, that's all fine and dandy. I don't really want to like get into the nitty gritty of vaccines or whatever. But they really push that instead of talking about like what could actually happen. Do I think vaccines cause autism? Right now, no, I don't think that they cause autism. I think that there are a lot of bad things that are happening that we're just trying to, the mainstream media and doctors in the medical community is just trying to suppress.
What they teach you in the medical schools, they teach nurses and people, even for animals. I mean, they vaccinate the animals, right? Mm-hmm. They teach you only what they want you to know because a lot of the curriculum, the books, are funded by Big Pharma.
Yeah.
So why is Big Pharma going to fund literature that shows that their stuff has adverse reactions? I mean, you can literally read the vaccine inserts, and it tells you, yes, there's a possibility of autism on MMR. There's a possibility of autoimmune disease, diabetes. It literally has a list. I could not believe when I took out the insert and I actually read it for myself. Okay, it's scary. And see, that's the thing, is many nurses themselves, they go to medical school, they're told all the good things about vaccines that Big Pharma has paid for in the curriculum, but then they vaccinate their kids, and then they watch their kids get adversely affected, where they vaccinate the kid's nonstop screaming, having gastrointestinal distress, fevers, convulsions, and then the child just stops breathing and dies, or the lights turn off, the child becomes, you know, a different person, gets brain damage. So you have all of these testimonies from people who used to be nurses on, you know, that vaxxed show where they go around, right. They tour around the United States. All these parents, they have that, right? So you can't deny that there's like a possibility of an adverse reaction, but they don't want to teach the nurses that and the doctors that. And one of the reasons why it was interesting, you brought up how they said that they talk about the doctors losing their license if they're against vaccination.
Yes.
See how scary that is? You go to school, you take out all of these student loans, you're in debt hundreds of thousands of dollars so that you could become a doctor. You owe all this money to banks.
What was really scary?
And then if you come out against it and you don't push the vaccines, how are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to pay your debt off?
Right. Well, what's really scary about it is that I never really wanted kids, but my fiance does. So now I'm kind of like, you know, what do I do? Whatever. And when I hear these testimonials about the vaccines, it honestly scares me. It makes me not want to even have kids because I don't want to have to sit with that struggle. Do I vaccinate? Do I not? What happens if I don't? What happens if I do? It's terrifying.
They fear monger. They terrify parents. And as soon as you're in that room with the doctor, the fear mongering begins. Your child's going to get all these third world diseases that are eradicated. Well, wait a second. Aren't these diseases eradicated? And here's the other thing. A large percentage of the 80-year-old and 90-year-old population in the United States still walks around today and is perfectly fine. You know, my husband's grandmother, 90 years old, has never had a vaccine because they weren't vaccinated when they were little. She didn't have any of it, not even the polio. And she's outliving her children. She's healthy. She chooses to go mow the lawn on a riding lawnmower every other weekend. This woman is healthy. Why? Because she literally will not go to the doctor. She will not. Any little thing, we're like, okay, maybe you should. Nope, nope, nope. All her siblings that went to the doctor, took all their pills, all their pharmaceuticals, got the flu shots, all that stuff, they died. Why is she outliving everyone? Maybe there's something we can learn from my husband's grandma, who's 90 years old and has never been vaccinated, is healthier than her children. Coming back, we'll be talking about the abortion debate.
The InfoWars.com studios. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back. I'm Millie Weaver, guest reporting for Alex Jones, and I'm here with Caitlin Bennett, the Kent State gun girl, and we're going to be talking about the abortion debate that just keeps on going in this nation, and I really think that it's going to keep on going because babies are being killed. I mean, I was talking to you the other day, Caitlin. I was saying, I really believe that society, maybe 20, 30 decades from now, is going to look back on this time period and think, what barbaric people existed back then? How barbaric was our society that we literally allowed a massive holocaust of babies? That's about 60 million babies in the U.S. that are gone, killed, murdered, their lives snuffed out since Roe versus Wade. That's insane.
Well, what's funny is we look back at slavery, as we should, and we say, that was terrible. How could we have allowed that to happen in the first place? I can't believe that black people don't choose to be black. It's just the color of their skin. How could we treat them like that? Babies don't choose to be made. Babies are innocent, but we pick these certain circumstances that are innocent. Black people don't choose to be black. Babies don't choose their circumstances for how they wound up in your womb. And that's why I'm so passionate about pro-life causes, even in the cases of rape and incest. And I know that's a big controversy, even for conservatives. They're like, how could we force women to carry the baby of their rapist? Because the baby didn't do anything wrong. And it's very common sense to me, and I'm sure our listeners have a lot of common sense too to understand this. But it literally hurts my heart to even think that we have women out there marching in the streets demanding abortion. And it's not rare abortion where the mother's life is in danger. It's abortion on demand. They want it on demand.
Definitely. They want even up until the day before, the moment before the baby's born. You know, and the Alabama governor was saying, even after, if the baby mistakenly gets born, we'll wait and see what the mother wants to do. If she wants to kill it, then they think that it should be killed.
That was the Virginia, right?
Oh, yeah, Virginia. Yeah. That's yeah. right. I mean, this is crazy that the Democrats are pushing this, because a very small percentage of our population actually supports third trimester abortion. And that's why I do believe that that conversation, that debate is going to continue all throughout up until the 2020 presidential election, because you have these Democrat candidates now who are coming out and getting behind that message.
Yeah.
Beto O'Rourke. You know, I went and questioned him at a bar when he was giving a speech there, asked him what his stance was on third trimester abortion. And he said he supported it. The woman's right to choose. It's her body, you know? It's her. And the audience applauded him.
Oh, yeah. They were just
cheering abortion.
They were like sheep. They're like robots. Like, oh, abortion. I love it. That's great. Yeah, let's have more. What really bothers me is that people don't understand why Alabama, and even in Ohio, we have a heartbeat bill, and Missouri, I believe it was, they don't understand why these states are taking such extreme measures to protect life, because they see the abundance of states, liberal states, that are pushing extreme measures to be able to abort your babies even after they're born. What did you guys expect, to the Democrats, what did you guys expect to happen when you push the genocide of unborn babies and then include babies that are already born? I am so thankful. I am so happy that we have Republicans in office in these states like Alabama and Ohio that are saying that is enough. If you're going to go to the extreme one side, we're no longer going to tolerate it. And we're going to make Ohio, we're going to make Alabama a safe place for babies. And when we tell women that they can still have careers if they choose life, if they choose to have a baby, that is women empowerment. It is not empowering to tell women that they are not strong enough to have a baby and have a career, have a baby and go to school. How, I would be so insulted if someone looked at me and said, you have to abort your baby because you can't handle a career and a baby.
Oh, you know, that's happening insulting. In China. I mean, they have forced abortions there. And that's why I think that it's so important that this precedent that's set, that we stand up for life and say, no one has the right to choose whether or not somebody else dies out of their own convenience, because it's, you know, they don't want to have to take care of it. They just don't want it. At what point are the elderly going to be being treated that way because no one wants to take care of them or look after them? You know, it's a slippery slope.
It's absolutely a slippery slope, because now how far do we take it that, well, this baby was conceived in rape. It didn't choose it. It got put there, but it was conceived in rape. So that's an undesirable trait.
And they use the smallest little population to try to set the precedent for the whole. Like the amount of babies I was reading recently, like the amount of babies that are actually conceived in rape is like unbelievably
rape
small,
and
actually 75% of the women who are raped, they actually have the baby.
Yes.
And they end up being happier for it. There's studies out there that, you know, when the woman has the baby, or when the woman aborts the baby after rape, she's more likely to be suicidal.
Yes.
It's, you know, women who have abortions are, you know, typically have suicidal thoughts, and the left wants to try to deny that.
Out on my Twitter, there is a short clip where I went to a pro-life protest against Brian Sims, the really disgusting Pennsylvania state rep, whatever he is, that was shaming and harassing women that were praying for unborn babies. And there I asked people, what is the biggest myth surrounding abortion? And the number one answer I got was that the number one myth is that it's safe. Abortion is not safe. One, we can rule out even the argument that you can't have a safe procedure where you're ending the life and the heartbeat of another human. But also, having your body reject what is natural for women to have babies. We are made to have babies. We are still animals. But to have your body reject and force to reject
it's not safe.
A pregnancy,
it's not safe.
It's not normal.
No, it's not safe. And one of the craziest things I heard was when I was doing my, you know, investigative report, where when I was 9 months pregnant, I tried to schedule an abortion. And I was able to actually find clinics in New Mexico that would carry out an abortion procedure if I went there and paid them $17,000. Yeah, it sounded like I was paying for a hitman to kill my baby. It was that crazy. And they want you to essentially go through the process of actually giving birth in a clinic, okay? Not in a hospital setting. So wait a second. Mm-hmm. A clinic will let me have a vaginal birth without doctors in order to have an abortion, but the hospital wouldn't even let me do a VBAC. They said it wasn't safe. I had to do a C-section. What are we coming to? This is insane. That means women's lives are in danger, at risk, to even have these not with doctors, not in hospital settings, at clinics. It's not safe, essentially. And, you know, before, I just want to get to this really quick because we have this article here. Jim Carrey's pro-abortion tweet.
I have a bone to pick with Jim Carrey because he's actually gone after me before and has blamed me for the school shooting in Santa Fe, Texas, which is so disgusting. But at least I can say Jim Carrey knows who I am now. But I never liked him. He's not funny. He's disgusting and he's insane now. The older he gets, the crazier he gets. But he, maybe we can put it up on the screen, but there is a really disgusting photo that he drew of the Alabama governor getting suctioned out of the woman's womb.
As a baby. They took aborted fetus baby's body and put the face of the Alabama governor, and basically they're saying she should have been aborted.
So this picture shows a couple different things. One, it shows that, you know, women, feminists and Democrats say that, oh, abortions don't really happen where they stick something in and suck out the baby. Well, he drew it happening. So right there, he disproves that is what's actually happening in abortion. The other thing is that when they say abortion isn't murder, you're not taking away someone's life. Well, yes, you are.
Exactly. Well, on the other side of this break, we are going to be talking about the medical nightmare I experienced with my newborn baby when she was born. So stay tuned. You aren't going to want to miss this. This is Caitlin Bennett, the Kent State Gun Girl, and we are guest hosting the Alex Jones Show. Now, we've been talking about all kinds of things, abortion, and one of the topics that's on the top of our mind is vaccines and, you know, essentially how parental rights with the medical establishment are being whittled away, and Democrats are behind that push to whittle away your parental rights. So you can essentially choose to kill your baby, but you can't choose whether or not you vaccinate your baby. I mean, that sounds pretty wild. You know, I know that the crew back there was talking about a medical study which even tries to say that mercury in vaccines is good for your baby, that somehow mercury is good for your baby. It's like they didn't read history when the Mad Hatters had their exposure to mercury because they used to use mercury to clean the buckles for people's hats. The reason they were called Mad Hatters was because they were mad. They were insane. They had mental problems because of all the mercury exposure. But no, mercury's good for your baby, you know. This is insane. And, you know, we are going to get into my personal story that I had because, you know, I just recently had a baby. And she's now 3 months old. But when she was a newborn, I found out the hard way that now Spinal taps are now routine procedures at children's hospitals. If you bring in your newborn baby and your baby has a very slight fever, that means like if it's above 100.3 degrees Fahrenheit, your baby could get a spinal tap. I mean, you'd think that a spinal tap could make your baby at more risk of getting some kind of infection in their spine.
But Millie, your baby didn't even have a fever and they wanted to give her a spinal tap.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. So let's go ahead and roll to this report where I explain my medical nightmare with my newborn baby.
This is Alma, my 3-month-old baby daughter, and she is what a perfectly healthy, unvaccinated baby looks like. She's in all the top charts. She's off the records. I mean, she is so healthy, and the doctors, in the beginning, they tried to pressure me into vaccinating her, but now she's surpassing all the other babies that she was behind initially that were vaccinated. So there she is. So she was born C-section, and of course with C-section babies, she was suctioned after she was born, and that's when they kind of put a big suction thing in the back of your throat and kind of remove fluids. But when she had her first baby checkup appointment, they looked in the back of her throat and they saw that she had a little bit of a scratch or sore at the back of her throat. And so the doctors freaked out. They thought that maybe she had a sore, maybe she came in contact with some herpes virus or something at the hospital. They were asking me about my medical history, and I'm like, no, I've never had any type of herpes or anything. Plus, she wasn't even born vaginally. She was born with a C-section. Nonetheless, they wanted to send her to a hospital immediately. But I was like, no, I don't think she needs to be at a hospital. She doesn't have a fever. She's fine. She's healthy. They said, go to, you know, Walgreens, Rite Aid, get a thermometer and monitor her. If she spikes a fever, even if it's over 100.3, bring her into the ER. So I was doing that. And of course, a day or two later, I took her temperature and it said 100.6. So I thought, oh my gosh, maybe she did come into contact with something at the hospital. I should take her into the ER and get her checked out. So of course I go. As soon as I get to the ER, the doctors then take her temperature with their thermometer and it says she doesn't have a fever. So I then say, wait a second, let's check mine. So I checked mine, it said she had a fever. They checked theirs again, no fever. So I quickly realized that this cheap little $5 thermometer I got at the drugstore was faulty. Something, you know, wasn't very accurate. I trust the hospital's calibrated equipment more than this little cheap one. So what did they say? They said, we need to get a blood sample and a urine sample. So of course I was thinking, okay, sure. Maybe they'll prick her heel like we've seen or somehow collect urine. No. All of a sudden, before I knew it, they're wheeling in all this crazy equipment. All these people come in. They shove a catheter in her, and she's screaming. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. No, what are we doing here? Oh, this is the only way we can get urine. They start having nurses stick needles in her arms to try to get a vein. Of course, she's reeling and screaming in pain, and I start freaking out, panicking, and crying because I'm watching my poor baby writhe in pain. And I'm like, stop, I don't want this, we need to go, like, I do not want to be here anymore, I want to take her out of here. And they said, no, sorry, ma'am. They were literally threatening me with CPS, or, you know, the Child Protection Services, for medical neglect if I took her out of the hospital, despite the fact that she didn't really have a fever at all. But because they said she had some kind of mark or scratch at the back of her throat, you know, they had to run all these tests on her. They had her all wired up like she was some sick baby, took us up to, you know, to stay overnight and everything. And the doctors then started wanting to pressure me to allow them to start her on high-dose antibiotics and do a spinal tap on a newborn baby without any evidence that she was sick. They literally had no evidence she was sick, no fever, nothing. And they wanted to do a spinal tap on her. I kept saying, no way in hell. We are not doing a spinal tap on a newborn baby. I started threatening them legally that I would sue them, that you are not allowed, like, this is where I draw the line, and this is where I threaten you legally that you are not gonna do a spinal tap on my newborn baby. One of the doctors said to me, you know, if it were my baby, I would want them to have a spinal tap. I would want them to immediately be put on high-dose antibiotics. I said, really? Even when your baby's perfectly healthy and doesn't have a fever at all? They said, well, you don't know that. And mind you, the test they took the night before had already come back to show that the mark in the back of her throat came back negative for anything. No herpes, no crazy viruses or any illnesses. It came back negative. So even with a negative test, they wanted me to do a spinal tap on my baby. I actually got into a long debate with one of the doctors who just, he wanted to go at me with, you know, vaccines, and he had all the arguments, all the things to say, and I was just like, no, I have my reasons. I know for a fact, and plus, you know, we have a thing in my family where babies get febrile seizures, and I didn't want to risk anything going on with my baby. You know, I said, when you can show me on those inserts that it doesn't say risk of death, risk of autism, risk of all of these autoimmune diseases, when you can show me those vaccine inserts don't say that,
well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I've got $3 in the sun. None of them are tested for safety. They have secret liability protection. Now it's hundreds of shots they want to give, and they know what they're doing. This is on purpose, people. We're not against science. We're not even against vaccines itself, in my view. It's that they're not giving us quality vaccines. They've got contaminants, and it's part of a larger agenda. And these sweet little babies, my children are all in the top 99 percentile of everything, just like this baby is. And the doctors will tell you, no, we notice the difference with unvaccinated and vaccinated. It's a fact, but regardless, it's like a public health issue or like Yelp or reviews. They're trying to say mothers and fathers and people or nurses can't have their views that vaccines have caused damage or they've been hurt by vaccines. So they're trying to say that you as a consumer don't have a right to say you were hurt by a product that Big Pharma has that has liability protection with the whole history of Big Pharma and Bayer with HIV in the shots and the OxyContin company knowing it would kill people. I mean, really? We're going to just trust these people that have this history of secret experimentation. I really commend you guys and your courage, and other parents stand together. God bless you.
So there you have it. That was my medical nightmare where my poor baby had to suffer through all because of a bunk thermometer and me not trusting my own mother's intuition and trusting to take her in when the doctors were panicking. And, oh, yeah, by the way, that little scratch at the back of her throat, they ended up deducing that it was most likely caused from the suction thing that they used on her when she was born in the hospital.
So they caused this because they weren't careful when they were suctioning the fluids out of her lungs. And then they want you to give her a spinal tap out of something that they caused. And those were young doctors, right? The older doctor came in and was like, what is she doing here?
Yeah, that's right. Even an older doctor came in and looked at the baby and says, what is this baby doing here? She's perfectly healthy. Let her go. This just goes to show that, you know, we have these white coats that think they know better than parents and they want to put your children through all these things. The spinal tap probably, I mean, who knows? It could have caused her to get an infection in itself when she was already healthy to begin with. That's the same thing with the vaccines. You know, they're fixing babies that were born healthy. It doesn't make sense. Well, that is all for today. Thank you so much, Caitlin Bennett, for joining us here on the Alex Jones Show.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.